Provider to perform needed services. Recipients hire a care provider of their choosing. If you are 65 or older or living with a disability and Medi-Cal eligible, you may be eligible for IHSS. Call Napa County IHSS at 707-253-6272 to find out more.
Of course I talk to the kids about cell phone use when they're driving. I tell them not to call their friends and never, never text anyone.
That's smart. Do you think they listen?
They're good kids. I think I made it clear they could get hurt or worse if they take their eyes off the road for even a second. They understand we have rules and their dad and I expect them to follow those rules. Oh, this is important. Excuse me while I answer this text.
Show your teen how to be a responsible driver by being one yourself. Texting while driving? It's not worth it. A message from the California Highway Patrol and the California Office of Traffic Safety.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number.
1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay Wine Country. The following is a KVON sports presentation.
It's high school football coming to you from Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon, as the American Canyon Wolves are hosting Amador Valley Dons. It's high school football on a Friday night. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome into another sports presentation on KVON. Tonight we have high school football coming your way from American Canyon. It's brought to you with the good wishes of our Napa Valley Sports Boosters. I'm Ira C. Smith. We're joined tonight by Kent Fry, who will be handling the color commentary, and a bit of a breezy night it is here at Wolf Den Stadium.
Breezy, Ira, but sunny and, nice warm weather for the time being. I expect that coastal fog to roll in and cool off and make it for perfect football weather, as it should be. And it's fun to watch these JVs, and what a turnout. Dino and I were talking. We had a park clear way on the other side of the parking lot when we came in. It was jam full out there.
Yeah, good response there as far as
great the turnout
community to the Wolves. And you mentioned Dino. He is our statistician extraordinaire, Dino Alessio.
Thank you, Ira. It's terrific to be here. And, I think it's going to be a perfect night. It's going to probably be around the 50s by the time the game gets going. And I think that's about the temperature the players like, right, Kent?
That's right. That's football
cool
weather.
Cool, but not bitterly cold.
Fall is here, Dino, so we're all set for football.
All right.
One of the reasons we enjoy coming to Wolf Den Stadium is the way that we are handled here, the presentation of the press box for our use, and the people are just very courteous to us. And it all starts with the athletic director, and he is a graduate of the Vintage High School Crusher program. His name is Nate Wilkins, and Nate, we don't go back that far when you were a student.
No. Well, it feels like a long time ago at this point, but it's an incredible honor to have you guys here, and thank you for coming and broadcasting our game tonight.
Well, you played basketball when you were a Crusher. I remember that. What about any other sports?
Just basketball, and it's truly amazing that you remembered me scoring 4 points a game. So I was quite honored by that, and it was you're a Napa legend. So it was fun to be able to tell my friends that they remembered my efforts.
Well, tell us a bit about getting this job as the athletic director, as far as coming from a field that was not exactly related to being an athletic director.
No, it's a little bit different. The position's definitely changed a lot over the years when we have a lot of compliance issues and a lot of kind of community and culture building that we're responsible for. My background kind of fit well into that. I'm a new teacher here as well, teaching PE as well, and so I'll be assisting with the basketball team, and it's just a great campus, a great group of people to be involved with.
You have found out that there is a lot involved with being an athletic director.
Quite a bit. Yes, quite a bit. But it's a fun challenge. You know, it's interesting to start new when fall has the most going on, and having a new football coach that we're really excited about, and Coach Montante and the vision that he brings to the program. That's a double-edged sword, because we have a lot of, we both have a steep learning curve to make sure that we rise to the challenge that these students deserve and have the leadership that they deserve for the program.
Do you have an assistant athletic director?
No. It's one option that I do have, but I wanted to make sure I took in all the games myself and tried to take on as much as I could, because being just a basketball player by trade and being in sales prior to becoming an educator, I knew it was important for me to experience everything. So you'll see me here a lot.
How did you find the facilities when you arrived on campus?
Well, it's the crown jewel of American Canyon, and I'd argue the school district in general. I'd put our facilities up against anyone, and the proof of that is we just had a recent visit from our North Coast commissioners who want our facilities to host a number of the championship games. So that's an incredible honor. I think our location suits that very well, proximity to 80, being able to get to the Valley and all the East Bay schools. This might be a center for some sports for years to come, and we hope to live up to that reputation.
Was Gil Lemons here himself?
No, it was Pat and it was Bree, the two assistant commissioners. So Gil I met the other day, but he wasn't here they were here scouting out our water polo facilities.
Yeah, he's been very helpful to us, too, like you have been when we arrive here to broadcast a football game. In the past, the Wolves have had a pretty good team, and it's kind of a rebuilding year, it seems.
I think that there's a little bit of an aspect of that. Anytime you have a coaching change and a different coaching philosophy, you're going to have aspects of a rebuilding. We really had a preseason that was challenging for us. I think that one of the interesting things about the Vine Valley League is we don't really know what's going to happen, right? I think some of the smaller programs might realize that they might specialize in some of the sports, but we've definitely been playing a different brand of sports, kind of heading up to Sacramento and whatnot. So we're really excited to see how this translates to the Vine Valley League and see what happens.
What do you think would be strong sports for the Wolves this school year?
Well, I'm pretty impartial to basketball, so I'm going to put that out there. I like our team. I like how we move. We got some good young talent. Football, there's a lot of pride in this town for the football team, and I really do think we have a good chance at this. I mean, there's a lot of parity in Divine Valley. That's being generous right now with looking how the preseason's going. So I think when it's time for the league to start, it's literally every team's going to be at square one, and it's going to be a dogfight. There's going to be a lot of good competitive football out there.
And Kent Fry alluded to the great support that you have received.
Absolutely amazing. This community is like no other. It's so diverse. They come from all over. People just they work in the city. They work in faraway areas, and this is just like the little bedroom community that they live in. And it's been a lot of fun getting to know the families here and building that connection.
Okay. Now, is your wife, is she employed in the area?
She is in the wine business in Napa. So she made her way out here tonight to be supportive. This has been a lifelong dream for me to be able to involved in this capacity. So I'm pretty fortunate at this stage in the game. I have all the support in the world at home. And so she's here selling season passes.
And the youngsters?
The youngsters didn't make it tonight. I think that I didn't want to burn them out too much. That's one of the nice things about the Vine Valley League is we have a lot of away games in Napa, our hometown, so they'll definitely be out there. But we gave them the night off for this one.
Okay. Well, we appreciate your cooperation, and thanks for finding time to chat with us here as we start the broadcast of tonight's game there for the team.
Ira, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, guys.
Okay, that Nate Wilkins, who is the athletic director at American Canyon High School, and as Kent alluded to, just really fine support as we look around the stadium. Now, to set the scene a little bit here, as far as the JV action, they got underway a little bit late. Same story, I guess, this other time. And so they are still in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes to go, and the score, it looks like it's about 31-7, although the flag, which is at half staff because of the passing of John McClain. So I can't read the guess.
I think it's 34. Oh,
there it is, yeah, 34-7 in favor of Amador Valley. But getting 7 points is good because those are the only points that the JVs have scored this year. Their first game, they were winners over Deer Valley, even though they did not score because it was a forfeit. So there was no JV game played in that opening night of high school football. And then last week, they went to West Sacramento, and they lost to a very good Intercom team, 55-0.
Yeah, that's a heartbreaking there, Ira, just to go up there and get shellacked like that. But Intercom is very, very solid.
That was just the JVs. The varsity lost 69-0. Yeah, the worst defeat in the history of American Canyon football, which is in its ninth year.
Well, the good news to that is hopefully they'll never have to face that again, a defeat of that size and magnitude.
So getting on the scoreboard for the JV team was Vinny Espejo. He is the quarterback. He is about 5'9", a sophomore. It came on a 75-yard run on a read option, and that was with a 1:06 to go in the third quarter. So that got them on the scoreboard for the first time this season. Well, we have the officials getting everything rolling along here in this latter stage of the JV contest. And we have with 3 minutes to go, so we'll be back in a moment. And so you're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at kvon.com. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith. Our statistician is Dino Alessio, and our engineer is Angelo Lyons. This is his first season with us, a graduate of Napa High last year, and an intern last year at the radio station.
Angelo's going to get Rookie of the Year. Boy, he brings us in right on the cue and gets the spots in right on cue. Great job, Angelo.
A very conscientious individual, and he's going to update us on some Justin Siena scores, of which we have one right now in the JV game over at Dodge Stadium in Napa. The Justin JVs another shutout as they defeated Army OJVs 26-0. Last week, Justin Siena had a 27-0 win over the Healdsburg JVs.
And I can report from the city of Stockton over at Lincoln High School, the Vintage JVs, Ira, are up in the fourth quarter with a running clock, 42-7. Yep, 42-7. Vintage JVs up.
You got that 35-point margin, which you need to have a running clock, and so that is happening there in Stockton. Way to go for the Vintage JVs against a very powerful program.
Yeah, Lincoln's always been a powerful program, so that's a great start for the Vintage Crushers over there, making a long road trip across 12 today.
Well, speaking of making a road trip, our statistician, Dino Alessio, made one to the Spartan Stadium last night as he wanted to watch San Jose go against the underdogs from UC Davis. And how did that come out?
Well, as a San Jose State fan, I'd have to say it was a bit disappointing as the Davis Aggies pulled off the upset 44-38. Their offense was just stupendous. The quarterback for Davis, his name is Mayer. At last count, he had completed 37 out of 55 passes in the game, and I think he actually completed a few more after that point. But the Davis Aggies looked really good offensively, and the Spartans did not look good at all defensively. San Jose State did rack up quite a bit of yardage at first downs, too, but they were playing from behind from the second quarter on and couldn't quite catch the Aggies. The Spartans scored with about a minute to go, tried an onside kick. If they had recovered, they would have had a chance to pull it out. They were down by six, but the Aggies recovered and were able to run out the clock. But it was a long evening. The game took 4 hours to play. And I didn't get home till the wee hours of the morning.
Well, let's see. The JVs are about to score here for American Canyon, so let's follow it in. First and goal from the 10-yard line. Back to passes at speed. So as he rolls out, there's a flag on the play, and he is going to be brought down right at about the line of scrimmage. May have picked up a yard. Espejo is the quarterback for the JV team. They're trailing now 34-7. And as I indicated, a flag, and it looks like it is going to go against the Young Wolves as they are backing up, and a personal foul. No, it's going against the defense, grabbing the face mask, and that'll be half the distance to the goal line going against Amador Valley. And can't we see just a lot of substitutions in there for Amador Valley, giving everybody a chance to play, which is good.
Yep, that's what you want at this stage of the game, Ira.
Espero, a lob pass into the end zone, and it's a touchdown for the JVs as Stuart Croak went up high. He's a 6-foot freshman and grabbed that ball. There is no freshman team here at American Canyon. They were going to start out and have a freshman program for football, and it was until football practices actually got underway and all that they decided, no, that they would bring the freshmen up and let them play on the JVs. So that is their second score of the season.
Well thrown ball. Ira just threw it up there and let his tall receiver go up there for the jump ball, if you will, and just out-jump the defender.
They're going to go for a two-point conversion now, and they hand off to the fullback, and that is Anderson Ezekiel, and he rumbles in and No, they said he just missed. Boy, I thought he got in there. But the official right on the play denied the two-point conversion. So with a minute and a half to go here in the fourth quarter, that will make it 34-13, the score. And it's kind of interesting, even though the JV game is in progress, that the varsity players from Amador Valley, the Dons, have all come out and lined up right at the goal post, down that line that runs from side to side. They are lined up from one side all the way over about to the other side there with their varsity football players.
There's a flag thrown out here on the sideline of American Canyon.
Well, the kickoff is that the penalties being set up on the kickoff as they're bringing the football out to the 40-yard line. The officials are indicating now that they're going to be taking it back. They had it spotted at the 40-yard line.
As a flag thrown on the sideline, Ira. One of the coaches said something. There's no doubt about it.
So that's a 15-yard penalty against the Wolves. The first 15 was against the Dons. Now, basically, they're offsetting penalties, and it takes the ball back to the 25-yard line instead of the 20-yard line, no. And they'll be kicking off as Stuart Crow will be doing it. He tries an onside kick, and the ball is covered by Amador Valley at the 42-yard line. Minute 27 remaining, and the Dons will get the ball another time. For those of you who are tuned in and wanting to find out about the Silverados, the final game tonight of their season, as the Silverados are home to the Vallejo Admirals, and you can hear that broadcast on Mixlr, or it's MIXLR.com. And then this a slant Napa and a dash Silverados, and you can hear Jeff Safford with the description of the final game of the season. It is Fan Appreciation Night there at Napa Valley College, and it looks like that the Dons are just going to run out the clock now and just going right in there, but. The Wolves want to get the ball back, so they're taking a timeout. They're trailing it 34-13, but they want to see about getting this offense in motion again. Let me tell you about the action tonight as we have this American Canyon Amador Valley game broadcast coming your way. We'll also keep you updated on Justin Siena hosting Armio. So there, Kent, you have the Braves against the Indians.
Oh, my. That must be politically incorrect to say that, Ira.
The Vintage Crushers are playing at Lincoln and Stockton. Now, here are the players running. He's going to get into the end zone for Amador Valley JVs. That'll take him up to 40-13. So it's not a running clock. It has to be 35 points or more in the fourth quarter. If it's earlier than that, they can still use a running clock by consent of the team that is trailing. But right now, we thought that the Dons were just going to down the ball, but apparently the Wolves thought the same thing because the Dons didn't down the ball. They took a run around the right end and went into the end zone for the touchdown.
We know it's interesting. So the Wolves, I think, had just called a timeout right before that play. So maybe that was the Dons' way of saying, okay, if you want to prolong this, we'll go ahead and try and score.
You know,
if the Wolves had let the clock run, the Dons probably would have just taken a knee.
Yeah, that's seemed what they were doing. Now, this is the first of four road games in a row for Amador Valley. That's a lot of road trips there.
Yeah, that sure is. Four in a row. That's kind of unheard of.
Yeah.
Who made that schedule?
That is back in the Sac Joaquin section. We're in the North Coast section. The extra point kick hits the uprights and goes over. It hit the bar and then just went over the bar there.
Well, that keeps our streak going because last week we had two extra points that just barely nicked the crossbar and went over.
Yeah,
so. that
So we've seen a lot of that in the last couple of weeks. So that makes it 41-13 here in the JV game. Well, the Wolves get their wish. They get the ball back, even though they gave up a touchdown to do so. The Dons come out of Pleasanton, Amador Valley. They have a 1-1 record for the varsity. They're coached by Danny Jones, and this is his third year as the head coach. And I thought it was interesting. On his staff is a guy named Ron Jones. So I asked Danny if that was any relation. He said it's his father who used to coach him football. And Danny Jones graduated from Amador Valley High School, and will be.
And now he gets to boss his old man around.
I don't know how that works out, but anyway, his father is on the son's coaching staff. Well, there's a good return, but there is a flag down as the Wolves get to midfield to the 45-yard line, and then three, four, five players make the tackle at about the 42-yard line of the Dons on the JV return. That was a good return. But again, they're playing against these fellows that have the clean jerseys that haven't seen the much of the action in the earlier minutes of the game. But there was a flag down, and it is against the Wolves. Now, for American Canyon, they are 0-2 coming in. They had a 7-4 record last year, and John Montante is in his first year as the head coach. He is the fourth coach that American Canyon has had. They started out with N. McMillan for 4 years. And Kent, did you ever work around N either when he was a player or a coach?
No, I never had that privilege to work with Ian. I just watched him from either the sidelines or the radio booth, but Ian's a very sound football mind, and obviously his history proves it, Ira. You know, wherever he's gone, he's produced winning programs, he's been on winning programs, coached with other coaches, and even when he's taken the helm himself, he's done very well.
Well, that will end the JV game. 41-13 is the final in the JV action. So we'll take time out and come back and hear from Coach Danny Jones and set the scene for the upcoming varsity action here on KVUN. So the final there in the JV action was Amador Valley Dons from Pleasanton 41 and the American Canyon Wolves 13. We'll be back and set the scene for varsity action after this. American Canyon territory. It's Wolf Den Stadium, and here come the Wolves. Boy, what great support, Kent.
Absolutely, Ira, and I like the new look of the different look with the unis. They got the dark jerseys, which usually have the dark pants with them. This time they're wearing the American Canyon Wolves are wearing the road white pants with the dark jersey on top. That looks sharp. I like that, Dino.
It looks good. Still got their black and gold color scheme going there, but with the white pants, I think they look very sharp.
Well, they're coming out to warm up, and it wasn't much of a trip for the Amador Valley Dons as they just came in a few yards from back here at the end of the end zone out to the 10-yard line as they get set for tonight's opening kickoff for the contest between the Wolves and the Dons. The JV got coach Fred Tenbrink taking his team back to the dressing room where he'll give them some comments on their action tonight. They go to 1-2 on the season. They lost to Intercom, and they won over Deer Valley by forfeit. Coming into tonight's game, they have had a stronger running attack than passing attack. They're averaging 166 yards rushing per game, and they're giving up, and their passing yardage is about 55.5 yards per contest. So almost 3-1 there as far as rushing to passing yardage in their first two games. American Canyon 0-2, Amador Valley 1-1. Amador Valley started out the season by playing Del Oro. And, Kent, you're probably familiar with the program there. It is excellent.
Boy, they're tough. I remember we had to go up there and play them in a playoff game when we were at Vintage, and that was a tough road game to play. And they're just a historically very, very good program up there. You know, there's so many Sacramento schools up there, and with the numbers they pull, Ira, it's just tough.
Yeah. Well, it was tough for Amador Valley as they lost to Del Oro 49-27. But last week against Irvington, and Dino thinks he knows where Irvington is located.
Yeah, I believe Irvington is in Fremont, in the city of Fremont. I'm going to double-check that.
And Amador Valley did win that game 54-0.
Wow.
Yeah. They poured it on. So while they were winning 54-0, the American Canyon Wolves were losing in West Sacramento to Intercom 69-0, their worst defeat ever. And that includes the early years. In McMillan started coaching them the first year. This is the ninth year for the program. And they just had a JV program that year. And N was with them for 4 years, and then Ernest Lawson came in for 1 year, and then Larry Singer the last 3 years, and I thought he did a nice job.
Larry did a great job. He had a good program. They were well-coached, well-run, well-disciplined, and he had a good offense there. He's running that Veer, and he ran it really good execution and ran a lot of play action off of it as well.
Well, we'll be watching not only the score of this game, but also the Justin Sin Armio score, the Vintage at Lincoln and Stockton score. I don't know if we'll be getting the Napa football score from Grass Valley, where they're playing Nevada Union tonight. And mentioning about St. Helena, they are 2-0, and they're playing another unbeaten team in Winters tonight. I think Ian McMillan is on the coaching staff now up at St. Helena.
He is. That is where Ian coaches. And, you know, local Napa boy Daniel Ward is the head coach of the Winters program. And he's been there for a number of years and does a great job year in, year out.
Nice guy, too.
Oh, great guy. Great guy. I'm happy for Daniel. He's got a good program over there.
Well, looking at the program that is from the East Bay Valley League, it has the Amador Valley team in it. They have Grenada out of Livermore, which is 2-0 coming into tonight's action. Dublin, which is also 2-0. And the other three teams, that's right, there are only five teams in the league, Livermore, Amador Valley, and Doherty Valley, are all 1-1. And not so as far as the success of the Vine Valley League. Those teams have a combined record of 2 wins and 12 losses after 2 weeks into the season. Justin Sin and Petaluma are the teams that each have one victory in that. And then Sonoma Valley, Vintage, Napa High, Casa Grande, and this American Canyon team are all 2-0. So that gives you an indication that they can look for some.
Well, you know what I like about coming down here to American Canyon, Ira? You know, you got these guys who run the scoreboard who, I don't know if they passed their math test or not, you know. Oh, Roger down here, he has a tough time with that scoreboard. He just keeps getting it all mixed up, so I don't know. You know, then you got guys on the PA announcing over here, you know, Billy Gutierrez, you know, he's just as bad. I don't know what these guys down here.
Kent is saying that as Roger is right in front of him, staring at him, giving the...
I'm going to have to talk to Nate, the AD, and get some new scoreboard operators up here.
Hey, be nice to Billy. He gave me some food before the game. Yeah. Billy brought me, shared a sandwich with me.
It's a great family atmosphere down here with the staff of American Canyon and the parents and everybody that participates in the programs. They do a great job down here.
And this just in, after extensive internet research, I have confirmed that Irvington High School is in Fremont, California.
Just as you said.
Yep.
Well, taking a look at the other Vine Valley Athletic League teams and what they are doing tonight. Sonoma Valley is playing in Richmond against Kennedy High School there. Casa Grande out of Petaluma is over in Novato tonight. They're playing at San Marin High School. Petaluma is home tonight as they host Terra Linda. of San Rafael. So that is the balance of the schedule other than what we had given to you earlier with one other game to add. That's Calistoga's hosting Woodside Priory. That's out of Portola Valley. And this is their first game. They only play seven games this season. And that, what is that, eight-man football?
Seven games of eight-man football.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, the teams are getting set. So let's get set by hearing from the coach from Amador Valley, the Dons. This is the third year for Danny Jones as the head football coach.
Well, Coach Jones, did you have many returnees from last year's squad?
Yeah, we do. We have our quarterback back. We have some skilled players back, and we returned four starting offensive linemen, which is good. Some of those guys turn around and are two-way guys for us. So we have a couple returning inside linebackers who were all league for us last year. And then we have about, you know, eight or nine guys that rotate on the defensive line.
How does this work out with you and Foothill from Pleasanton in different leagues?
You know, it's you got to play who's on the schedule, you know, and we still play them week 10, and that to me is like a league game. You know, it doesn't change. It's always a huge rivalry. Yeah, we're in separate leagues, but the rivalry will never, you know, will never go away.
Well, they're in a tough part of the league, and you are too in yours.
Yeah, it's a tough league. All 10 teams are good, you know. So every week, it's going to be a dogfight, you know, and either side, you know. And so every week, we got to be prepared because you can lose every week.
You know? What has pleased you so far after just a couple games of the season?
I enjoy just the way we're playing hard right now. You know, we're flying to the football on defense. We're playing unselfish football on defense. We're doing our job, and that's going to be huge tonight, you know, being able to stay disciplined with some of the option stuff that they do on offense, and then offensively, I feel like we're starting to come along as well, you know.
How's the special teams been performing?
Special teams has been good, you know, we're always looking to improve every single week, you know, every single week we're looking for guys to step up, and kind of we're waiting for that identity to show on the special team side, so I'm thinking that tonight's going to be the night where we get that thing rolling a little bit.
Both Amador Valley and Foothill have their own stadiums?
Yes, we do. Yeah, our own stadiums, yeah.
And what has the support been like so far this year?
Oh, the support's been great. We pack the Purple Pit every single home game. You know, we travel pretty well as well. Our student body's awesome with that. They always get all the student body there, and they're kind of going nuts in the Purple Pit, so that's always awesome for our guys.
Have you stayed away from injuries?
So far, we're pretty healthy, you know, knock on wood with that. You know, that's the game of football. You're going to get injuries, and you kind of have to have the mentality of next man up, you know.
Well, those were the comments of the head coach for the Dons of Amador Valley, Danny Jones. Last year, his team made it into the playoffs. They had a 6-4 regular season record, and in the first game in the playoffs, they met Deer Valley. And that is out of Antioch, the team that American Canyon opened with this year. And the Dons defeated Deer Valley last year in the opening round of the playoff, 26-13. Then they played Freedom High School out of Oakley, but lost that one 38-20. So they did make it into the second round of the playoffs, which is much better than in the first year that Danny Jones was the coach when they went 3-7 that year. And as I mentioned, 7-5 last year and 1-1 as they come into tonight's contest. He also mentioned about the other five-team league. The league that Amador Valley is in is called the East Bay League, while the other team in town, in Pleasanton, Foothill, they're in the East Bay Mountain League. And Kent, in that league, they have De La Salle, Monta Vista, San Ramon Valley, and California High School.
Great programs at every one of them.
Oh, but you know, just having De La Salle in your same league is something. But, wow, what a league there. We'll be back and take a look at the probables as far as some of the lineups for tonight's varsity matchup in a moment as we're here at Wolf Den Stadium, and we'll return following these messages. Welcome back in to Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon. I'm Ira C. Smith, joined tonight with Kent Frye with his commentary and with Dino Alessio with his statistics and Angelo Lyons with his engineering. We're all set for some good football action here at the Wolf Den Stadium tonight.
You know, Ira, I was just listening to the interview you had with Coach Jones there of Amador Valley, and one of the key phrases he used was, you know, what is he most pleased with so far in the young season? And it's how tough they're playing. And, you know, every coach out there, Coach Leach will tell you, Coach Mott will tell you the same thing. Are your kids tough? Are they ready to take on an opponent? And you got to have that mental toughness, but you got to have some physical toughness to it. And I was happy to hear him say that. You know, just I'm a firm believer in that. And that's what we, I don't know if we've seen that so far in this American Canyon team. So just how tough are they, and are they going to be able to respond mentally and physically against a big Deer Valley team? We're just looking at the size out here, Ira. They are big. They are really big up here. So American Canyon's got a tough test with them tonight, and let's see how they can respond.
Well, looking over the lineup, there is a change in numbers anyway, as Brandon C. tonight is back to number 16. He was assigned at number 16 at the start of the season, but then he took over, I think it was number 7, when we broadcast the game 2 weeks ago. And tonight, he's back to 16. So there may be some other number changes. But basically, here's the lineup. The center is Liam Suspend. He is 5'8", 240-pound senior. The guards, Jacob Mitchell, a 5'10", 200-pound senior. And Joseph Mendoza, a 210-pound senior. The tackles are Ronald Hamilton, although he goes by Jordan Hamilton, 6'1", 253-pound sophomore. And Jose Luis B. Lopez, 240, a senior. Very good football player, an excellent kicker. Last year he was 15 out of 17 in extra points. One of the fine running backs that does a good job of blocking as well is Eddie Birdsong, 5'11", 210 pounds, and he is solid. And they have the slot back is Darius Thomas. He had a good game when we were here 2 weeks ago. He's 5'11", 182-pound senior. A wide out is Wynn Tyler, Tyler Wynn, we should say. That Wynn is spelled N-G-U-Y-E-N, a 5'11", 165-pound senior. And the quarterback is Vance Essenberg, 6 foot, 176-pound junior, who was quarterback for the JVs last year.
We saw Essenberg grow in that second half, a couple of weeks ago, and he had a rough first half, and then he kind of took control of that team, and we saw that. And so I'm looking for good things out of him tonight. He's had obviously a tough road game last week against Intercom, but you know he's coming up strong and he's doing a good job. Let's see how he responds tonight.
Just quickly looking at the line for Amador Valley, their center is Jackson Gurley. Their guards are Jordan Urquhart and Brett Severance. Their tackles are Keone Frederico and Ian Rondani. And they have, as far as their quarterback, is Nico Mazzotti, who is 6'4", 220-pound senior. He quarterbacked the team last year. I think his name last year was Dominic Mazzotti, and this year it's Nico Mazzotti. And they have a running back. It's only a sophomore, but is a very fine running back, Daje Wilshire. He's 5'6", 165-pounder. And their fullback is Connor Murphy, 5'10", 205 pounds. Then the one that I've left out is their tight end. That's Tyler Nanny, and he is a senior, and he can be shifted as a tight end or a wide receiver as well.
Well, Ira, I'm just looking out there, and they're also running in their pregame. They're running Wiley Coleman at quarterback as well, who's another big guy out there, like Mazzotti. and they have Mazzotti listed at tight end as well. But either one of those quarterbacks, and Mazzotti, man, what a specimen he is. He looks like he should be playing linebacker for Cal.
Yeah. Yeah, they, as you alluded to, are big. Are the Dons. This is the second game this year that we broadcast where the nickname of one of the opposing team has been the Dons.
Well, I think, Dino, do we have another team coming up with the Dons?
There are some out there, but I don't believe we have them on our broadcast schedule. De Anza High School in Richmond is the Dons.
Well, if anybody would know who we're going to play, you know, if there's another Don out there, Dino would know it. He's a statistician extraordinaire, as you call it, Ira. He knows them all.
Well, let's take a look at who has been assigned to officiate the game. Bill Terrell will be the referee tonight. John Galvin will be the back judge. Jim Lanone will be the umpire. Warren Oliver will be the line judge. And Robert Terrell, no relation to Bill Terrell, will be the head linesman as far as the assignments that have been made for tonight from the North Coast section. And, you know, we're just a couple weeks away from the first games in that new league. That's going to be exciting in the Vine Valley Athletic League.
That'll be interesting, just, you know, watching the Sonoma team and the Petaluma teams and you know, Dino, we don't get to see Justin that much. We hear about him all the time, but we don't get to actually see him as much.
And I've got friends at work who are Justin grads, and they're giving me a hard time because they say, how come you never broadcast the Justin game?
Yep.
And I say, well, we've got a great crew that does those games when Justin is playing at home, and I don't get involved, but I have a feeling I'm going to get some chances this year.
Well, the Justin games are all on KVYN.
Right.
And we do Napa Vintage and American Canyon for the most part on KVON. But we do have some American Canyon games on KVYN. In fact, I think the next American Canyon game on our broadcast schedule, which is in 2 weeks, will be on KVYN. That'll be Petaluma at American Canyon, the start of league play. But we're going to be broadcasting from Memorial Stadium. It'll be Sonoma Valley against Napa High. And that could be a good game.
Absolutely.
So you're saying it's no good for me to demand a trade, huh, Ira, over to KVYN?
No, you are one of those that we protect.
I'm your franchise player?
Yeah. But anyway, we'll be set for the kickoff in just a moment. The captains go out to the center of the field, and we'll be back to, let's just go to Dino now before we break for the playing of the national anthem and check on the flip of the coin.
All right, so it was the visitors from Amador Valley winning the toss. They deferred their option to the second half, and so they'll be kicking the ball off. And they will be defending, let's see, that would be the south goal. And American Canyon Wolfpack will be receiving and attacking the south goal. And the captains for American Canyon, by the way, were number 7.
C,
sorry.
Yeah, he's actually number 16 tonight.
Yeah, well, it's weird, though, because somebody was out there wearing number 7.
Well, that's got to be him then, too, so that...
Right.
That was always shifted back.
I think he did.
Seven. Forget what I said about the change of numbers.
Number 7, C, number 11, Perez, number 15, Hoover, and number 32, Birdsong, were the co-captains.
And we'll be back with that opening kickoff for tonight's game, American Canyon hosting Amador Valley after this timeout. Here is Vince Campagno from Napa Nissan celebrating Napa Nissan's 50th anniversary. Welcome welcome back in now to Wolf Den Stadium, as we just had the playing of the national anthem. And, of course, we were standing here in the press box and watching the American flag, which is at half staff in the south end zone because of the death of Senator John McCain of Arizona. And just about ready to get this kickoff underway.
You know, that's quite a tribute to Senator McCain, who passed away about a week ago, and the flags are still flying at half staff. Today I drove by several buildings flying their flags at half staff, and I think that's just terrific.
Okay, well, the band is heading toward the north end zone, getting off the field, coming onto the field from across the way. The team in the white jerseys and the white football helmet, or the football pants, and the helmets are purple with some gold trim. And the numerals on the back and front of the Dons also in purple. And as Kent Fry already alluded to, American Canyon Wolves with their white pants on tonight. They have the black jerseys with the Vegas gold numerals and the black helmets with the Vegas gold stripe going down the center of the stripe. And we're just about set for the kickoff. And the guy that's going to be kicking off is named Colin Thomas. He is a senior, and he has lined up the football at the 40-yard line. American Canyon getting set to return. They send C back on the left side. And here is the kick. And it's going to go into the end zone. C went over that way to watch it. And it was well beyond he and the other player back in the end zone, Gaviola. And so it'll be a touchback and brought out to the 20-yard line. Now, that's one of the differences, Ken, as far as high school football and college and pros, is where they bring the ball on the touchback. Coming out to the 20 instead of the 25-yard line. Sending a wide out to the left side. That is Wynn. Now he'll come in a stride. Coming back into the huddle, in fact. The officials are pointing something out there. And I'm not. Oh, the yardage markers. They're getting those set. They're down at the south end of the field, and the football is at the north end of the field.
Everybody was on board except the chain gang, Ira.
So the chain gang actually running down the far sideline there to get in position.
Is that what they call being a fugitive from a chain gang?
Yeah.
Chain, chain, chain. Well, we have the American Canyon taking the ball on first down from the 20-yard line. They have been averaging 166 yards per game rushing and 55.5 yards per game passing. And now they break from the huddle. Tyler Wynn goes out to the left side, and out to the right side comes Brandon C. And the official ready now. He blows the whistle and suspend over the ball at center. The quarterback, Eschenberg, rolls out. And, boy, he is trying to work off the left tackle. But there's no hole there, and he may have gotten a yard, Kent.
Yeah, there's not much to just set up in that double wing.
Yeah,
it Eschenberg or
No,
Birdsong?
He handed it off to Birdsong right at the last moment. He started in that hole and then handed it to Birdsong.
Couple big defensive tackles there for Amador Valley there, Ira.
They're going to have to watch that as far as going on the inside. Eschenberg is ready on second down and 80. They have a pitch out to the right side. It goes to Del Rosario, and Justin Del Rosario, when he gets the ball, there was a whistle that stopped play.
Yeah, Connor Murphy, the outside backer. So what American Canyon did, Ira, in that double tights, they motioned the left wing back, going to run a toss sweep over here to the right side. The left linebacker for Amador Valley read it, so they're prepared, Ira. They're just coming up to stop that sweep, and he just jumped over the line of scrimmage too quickly.
So that helped out the Wolves. Now they get second down and about 4 yards to go for a first down. Eschenberg under center. Has man in motion. Nearly drew him offside again, and that'll give him a first down unless it was a false start. They're giving up that 5 yards they just got.
So what's happening, Ira, is basically Amador Valley's in a 4-4 defense, and the two outside backers are coming up. If the toss sweep is coming their way with a jump motion on the opposite side, is going to motion their side, they're going to come up and try to overload the defensive side to stop that sweep.
The handoff to Bird again as he gets out to about the 25-yard line. Birdsong, the ball carrier, stopped at the, going to put it down at the 26-yard line.
This is where you want to run your underneath counters, Ira. With the defense, they're going to jump and favor one side or the other. This would be a good misdirection, run an underneath counter off that toss sweep look.
Well, this is a possession play coming up early here in the first quarter. It's third down and five to go back in their own territory. And Essenberg upended there as they try over the left side and...
Running an option keep there, just trying to follow his fullback, and just nothing there.
So he got maybe a yard and a half. So that means it's going to be punt time. And the guy that does the punting is one of their fine tacklers. Billy Biondini is back at his 15-yard line. And it's going to be a long snap coming back to him. And it's a high one, but he gets it and gets the punt away. It's high, not too deep, coming down and bounding into the Don's territory to the 37-yard line. Well, they got a very nice roll on that.
Yeah, they did. A nice favorable roll. Got another 10 yards off that.
35 yards total on that, including that 10 yards that you mentioned on the roll.
Right now, Ira, I would say this is going to be a physical battle for American Canyon. The defensive front line for Amador Valley is just twice the size as that offensive line as American Canyon, so we'll see what happens on the defensive side for American Canyon here.
Well, no score. We're inside of 10 minutes to go here in the first quarter, and Nico Mazzotti, quarterback, puts man in motion, looks to that man in motion, pitches over to Wilshire. Wilshire turns the corner, breaks the tackle, the 40. He's to midfield, down the sideline, the 40, the 30. They're after him at the 20. He's inside the 10. He goes into the end zone. DeJay Wilshire goes 63 yards for the score on the first play from scrimmage.
Just a little bubble screen to the motion back. Two wide receivers out there blocking. Some poor missed tackling out there on American Canyon's part, and then once he broke open, he just outran the defense.
Boy, no contest on speed.
They had him stopped, Ira, for about a two-yard gain and just a couple missed tackles. I mean, blatant missed tackles.
He's only a sophomore, too. Well, the holder is going to be J.T. Warner. They say he's their specialist when it comes to holding. Colin Thomas is going to be attempting the extra point. As they're lining up and getting set, here is the snap, the placement, and the kick is on the way and good. So with 9:23 to go, we're in the first quarter, and it is Amador Valley Dons 7 and American Canyon Wolves 0. Back after this. Colin Thomas, who made the extra point, getting set to kick off. And it is going way back into the end zone again. And just watching it sail in there is Gaviola. So we'll see what the Wolves can do this time. They were unable to get down into Don's territory in their first possession.
Ira, here's a quick update from the city of Stockton. Vintage traveled over there on Highway 12 today to take on Lincoln. With 8 minutes and 20 seconds in the first quarter, Jacob Aaron to Cutler Lowe for a 45-yard touchdown pass. Vintage up 7-0.
Wow.
Wow, against a good team. Vintage is a good 0-2 team, but so is Lincoln. Set now for Vance Essenberg. As he gave it to the man in motion coming to the right side. A good move there as it was Del Rosario. Del Rosario gets, pretty close to 10 yards on the play. He's just shy of 10. We'll give him 9 yards on that carry. Ball is out at the 29-yard line.
Good blocking by Antonio Perez there out on the perimeter to free him up for a few more yards.
Tyler Wynn does not go out wide left. He is just out over outside the slot back. And then the quarterback keeps the ball. He gets across the 30 out to about the 35-yard line as Vance Essenberg on a fake handoff and on the option kept the ball himself.
Yeah, that's a nice play call, running the option back to the weak side. They motion the wing back on the left side like they're going to run to the right. Then they ran back weak side option, faked a dive to Birdsong, and Eschenberg made a good read, kept the ball, and a nice pickup for the first down.
8.5 minutes to go in the first quarter, 7-0 the score. The Dons of Amador Valley in the lead. Vance Essenberg dropped back. No, he keeps the ball and spins away from one, hit by another, pulls him along and takes him out in first down territory. Still going across midfield, still going to the 45, and the whole team gets in there to finally bring him down. How about that run by Essenberg?
All Essenberg right there, Ira. That was tremendous. Literally 22 guys there for that pickup.
24 yards, and those were punishing yards. They were all by Essenberg as he was tackled close to the line of scrimmage and just kept the feet moving and kept going and going for 24 yards.
It looks like a rugby scrum.
It was a rugby scrum, Dino.
So many players in on it. So it's first down, and they are in down in Don's territory for the first time at the 42-yard line. Essenberg hands off. They go to the left side with Talip. And he's not going to be able to turn the corner. Tried to sweep out left, but could not cut in. And Talip will lose some yardage on the...
Amador, they're ready for that little toss sweep. Again, they bring up the weak side. The opposite side linebackers come up hard. They need to come back to that weak side option, running away from that sweep look.
Well, they have a single setback with a slot right side, a wide out on the right side as well. Essenberg gives on the counter. There's a flag on the play. It looks like it's going to be a hold. The handoff went to Birdsong, and Eddie was stopped for a short gain, but there is a flag. False start. Illegal motion, I guess, illegal motion in the backfield.
I wonder if they might choose to decline this, Kent.
They just might.
Yeah, they have to get down to the 32-yard line for a first down, but they are accepting the penalty, yeah, which will take the ball back just inside of the 50-yard line with 7 minutes to go here in the first quarter. 7-0, the Dons are leading the Wolves, but the Wolves have the football and the split Tyler Wynn out wide left. A trip set right side. The quarterback looks right. His pass is overthrown, intended for Antonio Perez.
And Ira, this is where Essenberg needs a lot of work. He just needs to keep practicing. You know, throwing the touchdown pass, the slant pass, the sideline passes. Doesn't have a lot of arm strength. His strength is in the running game and making good reads off that option.
Antonio Perez will bring the play in from the sideline with the incompleted forward pass. The clock is stopped with 6:41 remaining in the quarter. 7-0 score. Dons with the lead. Wolves have two wideouts to the right side. And the quarterback on the read option keeps the ball, and he gets to the 45 or close to the 45. He needs the 32-yard line for a first down. Well, that will bring up fourth down, and we may see Biodini to punt again.
And that's a good read by Essenberg. He really does a good job at reading the option. He's not guessing. He's actually reading it. Real impressed with him for a young quarterback.
Cal Iwanich is dropping back inside of his 20-yard line. Iwanich is just a junior. The punt is a high one. Good coverage allowed on this one. It bounds at the 28-yard line, rolls down to the 23-yard line, and it'll be down at that point. So a 22-yard punt with no return on the play. So the defense back on the field now. They were on briefly earlier in the quarter for one play. And that went for that long touchdown run on the bubble screen out to the right side. There is a whistle. And they're taking a timeout here. The Amador Valley Dons calling a timeout. So we'll take timeout, and we'll be back in a moment with the score. The Amador Valley Dons 7 and the American Canyon Wolves 0.
Back. Tony.
From Mazzotti in the backfield to Wilshire. Wilshire the right side. He's out across the 35. And that's about it. But he picks up more than 10 yards on that carry. In fact, he got out to about the 38-yard line when they finally brought him down. That's his second carry of the night. They have had just two plays from the line of scrimmage. One was a pass to Wilshire, which he carried into the end zone. That one was a 15-yard pickup on the ground. And they have the ball out at their own 38-yard line. 5.5 minutes to go, first quarter, 7-0 the score. Amador Valley in the lead. Quarterback Nico Mazzotti. Man in motion going from right to left. And the pass comes out to the motion man, and that's Iwanek. Iwanek changes direction, looks for a block. He gets it at the 40. He's the 45. Flag on the play. He's at midfield and angles out of bounds, being forced to the sideline there by Brandon C.
And, Ira, that was the same play they scored in their touchdown, a little bubble screen just back to this side. But flags on the play to negate that gain.
They have shown some very explosive offense, but that one will be called back because of a hold against the Wolves. Against the Dons. Coming off the field on the defensive side, Birdsong.
That negated about a 22-yard gain.
Well, it's first down and 15 to go. They have to get out to the 48, their own 48, for a first down. And they have it back at the 32-yard line, maybe 33-yard line. And handing off to the tailback, and he's able to get only about 3 yards on the carry as Wilshire looked for some blocks ahead, taking the handoff and going over the right side of the line out to about the 35.
Much better job at tackling there, led by Eddie Birdsong at the middle backer spot.
Mazzotti is very versatile. He's the quarterback. He can play tight end, wide receiver, outside linebacker, defensive end. They can slot him just about any place on the football field. As he works on the shotgun formation, and a little flip pass goes over there to Cal Iwanek, and Iwanek is hit right away and dropped for no gain, probably a loss on the play.
Good pursuit, Ira, by American Canyon defense. Everybody rallying to the football. Stop of no gain there.
Yeah, that I think it was Jacob Mitchell came in on that hit. So it will be a possession play now for the Dons as they have the ball at their own 34-yard line. Have to get to the 48-yard line. Inside of 4 minutes to go in the first quarter, 7-0. Amador Valley in the lead, and they have the ball. Quarterback back to pass, looking down the middle. He's going to run out of the pocket now. He's got some room. He's out to the 40. They grab him there and bring him down at the 40-yard line. Good pursuit there, and Nico Mazzotti had no place to go as he was wrapped up.
Big Derek Connor, number 62, making a great open field tackle on Mazzotti.
So it's going to be
stop. Big stop on downs, Ira.
Yeah. That good defense that time around. Dropping back is Brandon C. He'll drop back to his own 25-yard line. Doing the punting, Colin Tomas. He's back at his own 30. Gets a nice snap. Gets a kick, and that's a dandy. It sails way down, and it bounds at the 10, taken at the 7-yard line. And C tries to avoid some tacklers. There are just too many white jerseys there. 2, 4, 6 white jerseys around him, and they bring him down after a short return.
That was a 51-yard punt, Ira.
And the Don's did a great job of getting downfield after the punt as well. Good hustle on their part, Kent.
Yep. Yeah, and I was impressed with C, the way he just stuck his head down and got about 8 yards out of nothing there. But that was a great punt, Ira. They pinned him, American Canyon, deep in their own territory.
C had to back up to take that punt. He gets the ball out at the 15-yard line. So there is where it is first down. Essenberg on the option, pitches over to the side, and coming out to about the 20-yard line is Del Rosario. And the junior gets five and a half yards.
Ira, there's your weak side play there. They show motion to the right and go back to the weak side on the option. Good read by Eschenberg. Faked a bird song, kept the ball, then pitched at the last moment. Good job.
They split the ends out. Wynn out one side, Perez out to the right. Eschenberg hands off to his tailback, who gets just a short yards there. That was Birdsong back into that backfield. Boy, I tell you, they are keying on Eddie Birdsong as you see those tacklers.
Absolutely. This is this Amador Valley, they spend a lot of time in the film room there, Ira. They have American Canyon's plays down by formation. They know who carries the ball. Yep. It's Eschenberg and Birdsong. Their defensive scheme is solid. Basically playing a 4-4. They got two big nose tackles with two defensive ends, two middle backers, and the two outside backers are, it's almost like a 4-2-2, if you will, but those outside backers come up against the motion. Here we go.
They need 2 yards, and Eschenberg carries. He gets the 2 yards, and they grab him by the jersey, but there was a whistle.
Got a flag on the near sideline.
Oh, we're going to have a false start. So, false start against the Wolves. Instead of third down and 2, it'll be third down and 7 to go.
Third penalty against the Wolves in this first quarter.
The Wolves want to stay away from the fumbles. Now they need to stay away from these costly penalties. That false start takes the ball back inside of the 20-yard line. So Essenberg needs 7 yards to keep this rally going as he hands off to the left side wing back, who comes to the right side, but he can't turn the corner as Del Rosario is brought down there without picking up any yards. Just was trying to, after taking the ball, to sweep out wide right.
Yeah, and they can't run the perimeter against this Amador Valley defense, Ira. They're just too quick. And they're well scouted, they're well drilled, they're outnumbered on the perimeter. They need to keep going back to the weak side, show sweep to the right or left, and come back to the weak side with either option or counter trap.
Biondini is going to be waiting before he punts the ball. He'll be deep in his own territory, but a timeout is taken. So, Dino, much in the way of offense.
Well, American Canyon's been able to move the ball fairly well so far. They've racked up about 60 yards in rushing, nothing in the passing game so far. Amador Valley has only run a handful of plays. They've only run 4 offensive plays. The 63-yard touchdown pass, of course, was their big play. Altogether, they have about 84 yards of total offense in this first quarter.
Biondini back at his own 7-yard line as he gets the high snap, brings it down. His punt is not very good. It's off the side of his foot, and it goes out of bounds somewhere around the between the 30 and 40-yard line, it looked like. The officials will line it up.
Looks like they're going to put it just exactly between the 30 and 40 at the 35. Only a 15-yard punt.
Yeah, the headlinesman Robert Terrell setting that there, the 35. Well, we're nearing the end of the first quarter. 7-0 score as Amador Valley has the football and uses double wides to the right, wing on the left, single setback. Wingman going in motion to the right. Quarterback keeps the ball, cuts inside the 30-yard line and gets down to about the 27-yard line.
Ira, we're seeing more and more of that in high school football where quarterback just carries a straight sweep there off leading with two fullbacks and the line. We got a flag thrown way late on the far side line here.
Just a reminder that you're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at kvon.com. It was unsportsmanlike conduct, the call, and it goes against the Dons.
It was a dead ball foul, so the play still counts, but instead of having second and two, they'll have second and seven.
And that takes the ball out there to the 32-yard line.
Right. 8 o'clock.
Well, the technical adjustments having been completed and getting set for the second quarter. We'll be back with that second quarter following this timeout. The quarterback, he keeps the ball. He's inside the 25, the 20, the 15. He spins and he goes down just shy of the 10-yard line. What a nice maneuver there by Nico Mazzotti.
Ira, we saw Vintage come out last week in this formation. Just Amador Valley came out in double tights. They just motioned a man over, and they out basically, it's not an unbalanced line, but they just overload one side. Mazzotti, the quarterback, is big enough. He just carries the ball, picks a hole, and follows his blockers. Another big gain.
He is one tough runner.
He's 6'4", 220 pounds. He brings him up to the line now with double wides out to the left. He has two in the backfield from the shotgun formation. He'll keep the ball on the left side. He slants inside the 10 and is tripped up there. Gets a couple more yards to about the 8-yard line. We're just underway in the second quarter. 7-0 is the score as Amador Valley has the lead, and they're threatening now down in the red territory at the 7-yard line of the Wolves. Quarterback Nico Mazzotti had gone over to the sideline to get the play. Does not include Cole Bartolo, who had been in there. He rushes off to the sideline now. And they send Connor Murphy over to the right side. Now they put him to the left. And the handoff goes to Wilshire. Wilshire cuts inside the five, inside the four, three, two, one. Did he get in the end zone? I haven't seen the signal yet. He was driven out of bounds, apparently just shy of the goal.
Boy, he's just a little scat back.
Boy,
just,
it looked like they had him contained, basically.
It was a touchdown. They're lining up to kick the extra point, guys.
But I never saw the official.
I never saw a signal either.
Nope.
No. None of the officials I was.
Yeah.
So Will.
But Wilshire, boy, he just picks his holes and just makes a lateral move here, and he's in.
I thought he'd gone in, but we're waiting for the signal. So now we will have a signal as far as the extra point attempt by Colin Thomas. His kick, boy, he's a good kicker. He kicks them right through there. So with 10.5 minutes to go here in the first half, it is 14-0. Let's go over to Dino Alessio.
So that drive was 35 yards in four plays, and it took 1 minute and 52 seconds off the clock as Wilshire scored on a terrific 8-yard run. He was so good, the officials didn't bother to even signal touchdown.
You got an interesting first name. It's spelled D-A-J-H-A-E and pronounced DeJay. DeJay Wilshire, just a sophomore, and only standing about 5'6". Here is Colin Thomas. He's teed up the football at the 40-yard line as he is set. And there is his kick sailing end over end, coming down to about the 7-yard line. Taken there, brought back out by C. C across the 20. He's at the 25. Boom! He is hit by several players at about the 27-yard line. So Brandon C., on the return. Gets about 20 yards on the return, taking the ball to about the 7, getting it out to the 27-yard line.
Ira, American Canyon needs to come out and get a sustained drive going. They need to move the chains about 4 or 5 times here down the field, get some drives going. They cannot afford to go 3 and out. The momentum has definitely gone to Amador Valley, and the offense just needs to move some chains, get the first downs.
Well, lining up under center is Vance Eschenberg. He keeps the ball on the option. He cuts in the 30, 35. He's the 40. He's got smooth sailing. The 40, the 30, 20. Eschenberg into the end zone. And Kent, what you were saying, and Vance Eschenberg made it happen.
Well, what they did, Ira, they motioned to the left, and then he ran the option back to the weak side. And that's where the hole is at in this defensive scheme of Amador Valley. And Eschenberg does a great job reading that.
Yeah, the cornerback over on the right side slipped, and that helped out a bit.
So, but Eschenberg made a nice move there. A good play call, Ira. So what they're doing, the coaches are seeing this. As they motion to the strong side, everybody shifts that way, and they're running weak side option back the other way.
John Montante must be pleased after that. And here's the extra point attempt. The snap, the placement, and the kick is on the way. And it is good. I think that was by Alex Yamas.
That was a great job by the holder. The snap was very high, and the holder did not panic at all. Just reached up and got it and set it down beautifully.
So Yamas kicks the extra point. That makes it...
Sorry, that was a 73-yard touchdown, by the way.
Well, that's the longest of the night. Better than that 63-yard one that the Dons had earlier.
It's really good to see American Canyon get right back in the game. Kent was looking for maybe a sustained drive.
Well, we'll take it in one play.
You'll take it that way?
Okay.
So with 10:08 to go here in the first half, it's 14-7. And I'll tell you, what really helped on that was the inspiration that it has given these players on the sideline. As the players that were on the field came toward the sideline, there was a lot of jumping up and down, hand slapping and all, and that is good for the morale. That was a big morale booster on the score by Eschenberg of 73 yards.
I think they definitely feel they can compete.
And we're set for the kickoff, and the kick goes back inside the 10-yard line, and it's brought back out by Russell Corey. Corey gets an opening at midfield, the 40, the 30. They're after him at the 20, 10, 5. They're not going to catch him. He gets into the end zone for a touchdown. That was Corey Russell.
You could see that coming, Ira, when he was about at the 15-yard line. You could see the alley opening up right in the middle. No containment there. They had outside containment but forgot about the middle.
I'm calling that 93 yards, guys.
Wow. Well, we've had a 63, a 73, and now a 93-yard one. And that comes inside of 10 minutes to go yet in the second quarter. That'll make it 20-7 with the extra point attempt coming up here in just a moment. And the guy that's been kicking has looked very good out there, Colin Thomas. Having a little confusion there on the lineup, and the official Robert Terrell, the head linesman, is coming over saying something to the coaches on the American Canyon sideline. Now they're set. So getting ready to attempt the extra point now is Colin Thomas. Holding is JT Warner. There is the snap, the placement, and the kick, and it's good again. So there's timeout now with a 21-7 lead for Amador Valley. 9:53 to go till halftime. We'll be back after this. Well, right after the Wolves were getting back into the game, boom, the lightning strikes as the Dons go the 93 yards on the kickoff to get their third touchdown here in the first half.
Yep, and the two teams have combined to score three touchdowns in the last 37 seconds.
Well, Dino, I'm going to go back to American Canyon needs to move the chains, get a long, sustained drive. If they can get one play, great, but they just need to move the chains, keep the offense on the field, keep their defense off the field. Special teams, obviously, all year long for American Canyon has been very suspect, and it opened its ugly head again with that kickoff return.
Colin Thomas, approach to the football, not too deep, end over end. It's kind of a dying quail as it does not even reach the 30-yard line and goes out of bounds.
He kicked off from the 25 because of a penalty that had been assessed.
Instead of the 40.
Yeah,
so pretty good field position, though, for the team. But can you imagine three touchdowns in 37 seconds? Talk about action. We've got it here at Wolf Den Stadium.
Two lightning plays there real quick.
Yeah, so now there's another flag out there.
Wow.
And that's going to call the ball back. So we started to say about the field position, but that could be negated now for depending on the ruling here on the play. And, you know, the referee sometimes give signals and sometimes, and this time he did not. No, there he is. Yeah, that was a false start.
I don't understand how you can have a false start on a kickoff play, but that's what they called.
Yeah, so that gives the Wolves even better position, all the way out to midfield. And the quarterback hands off right up the middle goes Birdsong, and he's inside the 35. A real quick opener there for Eddie Birdsong.
Just a drive series, Ira.
Wow.
Birdsong just exploded through that
16
hole.
Yards on the play.
Yeah, he's tough to bring down. Good job, Eddie Birdsong.
So, well, we said that the Wolves were getting excited, getting little more enthusiasm out there on the field. They're using a slot right. They have Tadlip in the slot right side, and they go with Birdsong again. Or he is nearly brought down at the line of scrimmage, but he's able to battle his way till Spencer Ox, who's a sophomore linebacker, brings him down after just a couple yards gain. He was lateral going there, trying to find an opening, and this Ox would not let him penetrate there. So it's second down and 8 yards to go, inside of 9 minutes remaining here in the second quarter. And the quarterback on the option keeps the ball. He's inside the 30 down to the 25 and hit then at the 20 and falls forward for even some more yards. He was hit at the 20, and but they're going to bring the ball back to the 20-yard line. Said his knee was down there, even though he got a couple, three more yards after that, stretching it out.
I really like the poise and composure of Eschenberg, Ira. He just does a great job reading the option, taking control out there. And this is what American Canyon needs. They're moving the chains, getting down into the red zone now. Just keep the chains moving.
Well, they were shut out last week, but against Intercom, that is no disgrace at all. And on the option, Eschenberg keeps it again, the 15. He's got a blocker at the 10, the 5, and he runs out of territory and goes out of bounds. He was trying to side or tight wire walk down that sideline, but his momentum and the angle could not stop, and it takes him out of bounds at the 8-yard line. Well, it's first down and goal to go now for the Wolves. They trail 21-7, and there's going to be a timeout taken. The Wolves get down into this territory. They do not want, first of all, to turn the ball over.
Absolutely, and we've seen that happen with American Canyon where they get a drive going and they turn it over. So this is a good play calling, good play by Birdsong, good play by Eschenberg. So been a 1-2 punch on the two of theirs part. Just need to keep it going. Go back to that weak side option. That's what I call weak side option, or give it to Eschenberg on the option keep. He's making a great read.
Eschenberg picked up 12 yards on each of those last two carries. And, Kent, he's now over 100 yards for the game.
Eschenberg is?
Yeah, of course, that 73-yarder didn't hurt. He's at 103 yards on five carries.
Well, over in the also in the press box there, the official score for the game. We couldn't tell who called the timeout either. Sometimes the official little lax there in giving the signals, like on a touchdown.
Yeah.
All right, Essenberg has him there at the 8-yard line. First down and goal to go. Long count there. Hands off to Birdsong. Birdsong over right tackle on the angle. Gets inside the 5. May have reached the 4-yard line. May have eaten up half of those 8 yards. Birdsong just was hoping for another block or two as he takes the ball inside the 5-yard line, where it'll be second down and goal to go.
Yeah, Birdsong ran over 2 guys there, Ira, just all on his own. Great powerful legs.
Sending C out wide right. They have a wide out to the left, but they're not going to be concerned with them, I don't think. The quarterback on the keep tucks it in. He gets into the end zone. Essenberg gets the touchdown, his second of the night, the second touchdown for the Wolves. Just checking, no flags on the field.
No, they came back with that weak side option.
Now we got a game again.
It's been there all night long as the weak side option. It's been there.
And he had Birdsong here, and on the option I was going to watch him to see if he flipped the ball to Birdsong, but he kept it and just took it in there. And then there, as an injured player, I can't tell from this vantage point who the player is, but it's in the end zone there. That touchdown comes with 7 minutes and 40 seconds remaining in the second quarter and makes the score 21-13. Now, while the Dons are leading, the Wolves are gaining the momentum.
Definitely, Ira, they are, and it's just it's good to see. They got the ball, you know, on the kickoff. They started at midfield to 50, but they drove down the field. They moved the chains, no turnovers. They executed the plays. Coaching play calls are much better. And Essenberg and Birdsong, I bet Dino's got the stats on that, but Essenberg and Birdsong, that was a great 1-2 punch.
Yeah, that was a nice drive. 6 plays, 50 yards, took 2 minutes and 13 seconds off the clock and gave the defense a little bit of a rest for a couple of minutes.
Well, Dino,
let me ask Angelo first. If Angelo, would you see if you can get us a Justin Siena score, and I'll check back with you in about a minute and see if we can get updated on Justin Siena.
And I have a big update here from Stockton. Vintage taking on Lincoln High School over there. It was 7-0 in the first quarter. Weber for 28 yards, touchdown, 14-0. Schompko for a TD. Defense hold, and Aaron to Josh Roberts for a TD. It is now 6 minutes, 37 seconds in the second quarter. Vintage all over Lincoln at Lincoln High School, 26-0.
Wow.
Okay, yeah. So, Angelo, did you have a chance to get an update or not?
Hey, we'll get back to you on that update later.
That's all right. I've got one here. At the end of the first quarter, Justin Siena is leading Armio 20-7 there at Dodd Stadium in Napa.
The Braves over the Indians?
The Braves are leading the Indians.
I'm so confused.
The kicker is Alex Yamas. He was good on the last one. He's getting set now for his second attempt in this game. Oh, bad snap. They get it down, and they're not going to be able to get the kick off, though. It was just a bad snap, so that's going to ruin their opportunity for the extra point.
And Dino, that's 2 bad snaps on the extra point, which could be critical later on in this game. American Canyon special teams guys have been suspect all year with recovering onside kicks, performing onside kicks. Their long snapper has been suspect. The punt game has been suspect. So they have a lot of work to do still in this young season on special teams.
Yep.
Yeah, as we noticed in that earlier game that we broadcast, the Deer Valley, it wound up 36-21 in a game that I thought American Canyon had a chance to win had it not been for the turnovers and the fumbles there, the onside kick recoveries by Deer Valley.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
So we get the football back at the 40-yard line for the kick, and it's interesting that we are not seeing Lopez doing the kickoffs tonight. It has been Yamas, and at least that's the number, unless we have to they change numbers. Sometimes they do that, and we don't get informed until afterward, and they say, oh, by the way. But here's the kick, and it's goes back to inside the 20-yard line. It's brought out to the 25, the 30, changes direction at the 35, and down to about the 40-yard line goes Joey Batiga.
Again, poor tackling on American Canyon's part. Again, special teams, Ira. It's the Achilles heel right now for American Canyon. All season is special teams.
So they had a nice return. It brings the ball back out to the 45-yard line. 7.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. 21-13 is the score. Amador Valley of Pleasanton has the lead. And they have the football. And Mazzotti, the quarterback, gets it over to the ends it off. You go to the left side, about to midfield to Wilshire. And that is going to be a pickup of about almost 6 yards if they place the ball in to Wolves territory.
And Ira, they had Wilshire stopped at the line of scrimmage. He just makes a lateral move, and he slips out of that tackle and picks up another 5-6 yards.
That was only the 10th offensive play for Amador Valley compared with 19 for the Wolves.
They stay in a shotgun formation. Mazzotti is going to keep the ball, and they hit him in the backfield, and he breaks away from one, and he breaks away from another. But shooting in there was
Birdsong.
Kikoa Wilson was one that made first contact with him.
Yeah, and Birdsong was there, and then another host. He got back basically. He might have lost a couple yards there, but Mazzotti made something out of nothing there.
Well, it'll be third down. The ball is still just about a yard in Wolves territory.
Much better job on defense for American Canyon, Ira.
Yeah, they are tightening it up now. Big play now on third down and a long four to go. Mazzotti from the shotgun as he takes the snap back to pass. His pass is deflected, trying a quick pass down the left sideline to Corey Russell.
Derek Connor, big number 62 out there, making that, breaking up that pass, Ira, from that backer spot.
The defense held.
I'm telling you, Derek Connor, that's two big plays he's made out there.
Hey, the Wolves are gaining the momentum now.
Absolutely. That's a big stop on downs, forcing Amador Valley to punt.
As they get set to punt the ball away, Thomas gets the snap. Boy, he gets a nice punt away. It bounds at the 25-yard line. Takes a little bounce inside the end. There is a flag as it went down to the 27. There's another flag.
Well, what happened is that everybody was just standing around watching the ball. An American Canyon player was there as well. Amador Valley came and pushed the American Canyon player into the ball, trying to get him to fumble. And then the tempers flared.
Yeah, wanting him to touch the ball, which would mean it would be a
live ball, right.
But and on a punt, the
American Canyon player shouldn't have been in there in the first place. That's
there's a personal foul. One each way, a personal foul against the Dons and then a personal foul against the Wolves.
I had a feeling that might have happened, yep.
So that would be offsetting penalties. So the ball is placed back down there. They're moving it to the 23-yard line. We're inside of 6 minutes to go in the second quarter. 21-13 is the score. Amador Valley with the lead. American Canyon with the momentum and the football. The black and Vegas gold has the ball in their own territory and use wideouts either side, a single setback, slot right. Slot man in motion. He'll take the pitch and starts to the right side, but Gaviola cannot get more than a yard, maybe a yard and a half, to about the 25-yard line.
Better job on defense by Amador Valley. They're tightening up.
The Wolves are up to 175 yards rushing in this first half.
That is more than their average has been in the first two games. They were averaging 166 yards of rushing. but they were also averaging 55 and a half yards passing.
I think there was a flag. They're marking some yardage off here against American Canyon.
Yeah. And that takes the ball inside the 20. Now it looks like two penalties, but they'd have their choice as far as which one to accept, I would think.
Unless one was live ball and the other was dead ball, then you could theoretically have both.
Well, that puts him way back there to the 12-yard line. So the Wolves' offense back to the wall there at. Ball's about at the 12-yard line, putting a man in motion. Quarterback pitches to the man, cuts in at the 15, now to the outside, the 20, makes another move at the 25 and gets out about to the 29-yard line. And that was a good run by Del Rosario, Justin Del Rosario.
Good blocking on the perimeter. We got another foul or another flag way late after the play. I don't know if the refs are getting flag happy or what. But I was watching. It didn't look like anything happened either.
I have to be careful about what I'm saying about the officiating.
Well, I really question this one now.
Yeah.
Unless they're kind of call a hold, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But this was thrown from center field, literally.
Yeah. And that's a major one. Let's see. Watching the white hat. He's giving the signal.
Dead ball.
Yeah.
Personal foul.
Right. Takes the ball back to the 14-yard line. While they make some yards, then it's called back. Then they make some yards, then it's called back.
And the shame of it is the quarterback did such a great job on that last day, holding the ball till the last second.
Weak side option. It's there all night long.
Yeah. 5 minutes to go here in the first half, 21-13. Wolves are behind. There's a quick pass over the middle. It's complete at the 25 out to the 30-yard line, a slant in pattern. And pass complete to Tadlip, Alec Tadlip, who is a 5'7 junior. But the pass from Eschenberg, Kent, on.
Been waiting for that all night long. Just a little option pass off the inside option, just a 32 option pass, a little slant pattern by the slot back.
Well, they're going to go for it here. It's at their own 31-yard line, and they need 3 yards for a first down.
Well, the chain gang, Ira, the chain gang has got their down markers all.
You're right. It's third down, and the chain gang showing. That chain gang's having problems tonight.
The guy on the box is having problems.
At least I think it's only third down.
It's third down.
I mean, one of those penalties was a dead ball foul, meaning the play counted.
It's third down, and he's got it marked fourth.
I think that I'm not so sure it might be fourth down.
No, it's third.
Well, the officials are somewhat conferring. They're standing kind of in a box formation for the five officials.
Even
now,
the
here comes the fifth one coming
down.
In. Scoreboard shows it third down.
I actually think it's fourth down, Kent, because one of those penalties was called after the play on a dead ball, so the play counted. I think it's fourth down.
Hey, who's got the screen? It's third down. It's not fourth down.
Well, Roger just let us know that he thinks it's third down. The scoreboard is right. The officials are still there. Looking at the scoreboard. They're looking over at the yardage markers over on the east side of the field. But by the way, our broadcast vantage point is on the west side of the field. And the officials are indicating
I don't think they've indicated anything.
Nothing, right. So, well, the Wolves are coming up to the line of scrimmage. They need
they're punting.
About three. No, they're the quarter rolling out to the right. They pick up a first down, the 45, and or rather the 40-yard line. And he ran out of bounds there at the 40-yard line as Brandon C. took that ball and picked up the first down. So that makes it academic whether it was third or fourth down.
Big gamble there by Coach Montanay.
If it was fourth down, it was.
Ira, they're moving the chains. They were down on their own 5-yard line, and they're digging it out. They've got it out to the 40.
Boy, if they can sustain a drive and get in the end zone, then the question is, do they go for two on the extra point try? a little premature, but the quarterback on the option pitches out, and they're going to lose the ball.
That should be an incomplete forward pass, Ira. That ball traveled forward.
Okay, we'll
and if they call it a fumble, they are totally incorrect.
Well,
that was an incomplete forward pass.
Well, the surprise, the officials are... They were trying to get their attention, the coaches up here, to say that was a forward pass. But Kent's going to try to get the message down to them on the field to let them know that that was a forward pass.
I don't think they're going to be able to change the officials' minds, however.
Yeah.
But that was definitely a forward pass. The quarterback was making a motion to pitch the ball, but he pitched it forward,
so it
which
should
is
been,
a forward pass.
And it should have been an incomplete forward pass.
Exactly. That's an incomplete forward pass.
Well, so the officials missed another one.
They did.
Now, the handoff, and for this time, they gave it to J.T. Warner, and he's a specialist out there, they say, and he was stopped for a loss of a yard. The defense is charged up now.
Yeah, that's a American Canyon's defense is really buttoning it up, as you said, Ira. Yeah. They're coming to play now.
Hey, what about if we change the people holding the yardage markers and the officials have them just switch positions?
Well, the officials generally do a pretty good job,
yeah,
but that was a missed call. That ball went forward. It's an incomplete forward pass.
And, Dina, we were right there on the where we could see it nice and clear. You're absolutely right.
Second down and 11. Back to pass. The quarterback avoids one tackler. He fires the ball in the air. He's got a player down there, and it's incomplete. Good job, defense. Back inside the 10-yard line. Boy, did he throw that ball a distance. It was intended for Corey Russell, but I think that was Gaviola back there on the defense.
Yeah, I think you're right. Great pressure up front there to put pressure on.
They nearly had him as a sack. Well, the ball is at the 40-yard line. It is in Wolves territory. 3 minutes and 15 seconds to go here in the second quarter. 21-13 the score. Amador Valley with the lead, and they have the ball on third down. Back to pass, setting a screen. It is complete at the 40. Moving in, they get a first down. Diving forward is Connor Murphy to get that first down.
That's a good play call by Amador Valley. The rush was coming. American Canyon had their ears pinned back. Good play call on coaching staff, Amador Valley.
Yep, got that screen to work, and he was able to extend the play for the first down. 3 minutes to go here in the first half. And that keeps their drive alive at the 28-yard line. Out wide left goes Corey Russell. They have a wide out to the right side. Quarterback Mazzotti is under center now, and he hands off, and they go over the right side and find a hole and get it through the opening. Leave 10-5, and into the end zone goes Wilshire. That little DeJay Wilshire has his third touchdown here in this. I think that was his third, was it? Or just
that is correct. He's had two touchdown rushes, and he had a pass that he caught the bubble screen and went for a touchdown.
And Wilshire was lined up on the left side as the left back, and they just pulled the left guard, left tackle, coming around on a counter. Then he made a couple lateral cutbacks. American Canyon was just not in position, and he was off to the races.
So it's an extra point attempt coming once again for Colin Tomas with 2.5 minutes to go in the first half. His extra point try is on the way, and it is good. So there's timeout now. 28-13 our score. We'll be back after this. Well, the Wolves seeing if they can get a good return here after the kickoff, get in position and get on the scoreboard again before halftime. Colin Tomas teed up the football at the 40. Here's his approach, his right-footed kick. End over end, soaring down. It's going to be at about the 12-yard line, taken there and brought back out across the 20, 25, and about to the 27-yard line as the return by Gaviola. It was stopped at the 27. So at that point, it'll be Vance Eschenberg, the junior quarterback, 176-pounder, about 6 feet tall, bringing the offense onto the field. The ball there at the 27-yard line in the Wolves' territory, wide out to either side. And under center, Eschenberg. Wingman goes in motion on the counterplay, hands the ball off to Del Rosario, and Justin Del Rosario gets out to the 30-yard line.
First time I've seen the counter, Ira, and that was a good little play. Gained 4 yards.
Yeah.
Take that every time.
Coming up on the 2-minute mark now, as Eschenberg drops back to pass, looks, fires the pass, and it is caught and it dropped at the 50-yard line.
Ball was underthrown, but yet he could have had that. He should have had it, to be honest with you. Making a baseball slide catch, yeah. Not that difficult.
Yeah, he started to come back for it, but as you say, it was underthrown, a little bit wobbly, and C tried to reel it in. Brandon's brother, quarterback the team last year. Set now on the third down. Quarterback on the option, keeps the ball. He cuts in and gets to the 35-yard line. They needed to get to the 37-yard line, and that's going to bring up fourth down, and it's going to be a long two if they decide to go for it. A minute and a half to go here in the half, and they may elect to punt the ball away.
Yeah, he needs to punt it, Ira. You don't want to get stopped short here in downs and give Amador Valley a good field position.
Biondini, who has been doing the punting, comes out on the field, but now he's coming back to the sideline as they're taking a timeout. Well, we'll check with Billy and see if he's available in halftime, Kent, and see if have a chance to hear from
Billy. To go Gattari. Over at Stockton is 26 vintage over Lincoln, 26-7.
In the second quarter?
Second quarter.
Mm-hmm. Here it is 28-13. With a minute and a half to go in the second quarter. And Justin Siena was leading Armio 20-7. Justin won the JV game 27-0. Here at the Wolf Den Stadium, the JV game was won by Amador Valley 41-13. Well, now they're coming out. And they're going to go for it. They are not going to punt now. So it's fourth down and three, and they jump offside.
I think they were going hard count.
Trying
to draw the defense, and they just couldn't hold their water. Now they'll have to punt.
Jordan Hamilton just a little jump there. So that false start will be a five-yard penalty. Now they will punt.
That's eight penalties for 60 yards for the Wolves in the first half.
It's a killer.
Yeah. Biondini drops back inside of his 20-yard line. He gets a good snap, gets his right foot to it. It's pretty good, even though it's a little wobbly. Comes down to the 38-yard line, and good coverage as they bring down Joey Batiliga. Batiliga had no running room as the defense was right there. Though that was good enough hang time to allow the tacklers to get down.
Antonio Perez on that coverage there, Ira, making a great solo tackle.
35 yards on that punt.
And no return.
Yep.
Yeah, probably lost some yards on it. That brings the ball at the 36-yard line for first down for the Amador Valley Dons as they put a man in motion going to the right, but the pass goes to the left, and it is complete. One guy misses a tackle. Another is helped out, and they get the tackle taken care of then at the 45-yard line as the pass had been complete to Cal Iwanich. Iwanich is just a junior, one of the players they count on heavily, and he comes through. Double wides to the right. Two setbacks. Quarterback dropped back to pass. Looks. Now he starts to run, and he's going to be sacked. Back inside the 40-yard line, around the 36-yard line. Clock is moving. 40 seconds to go in the half.
Ira, that's just a great bull rush. They call that a great bull rush by the defensive line of American Canyon.
And that's the first play in this game for American Canyon that they've lost yardage on.
Well, American Canyon has a timeout left, but they're not taking it. And so Amador Valley's taking all the time that they want to come up there. In the meantime, the clock keeps clicking away here with that down to 12 seconds to go in the half. And American Canyon elected not to use that the last timeout. And they work a draw play, and they can't trap enough to get much yardage, but they just wanted to run out the clock on that play anyway as they were getting back deep in their own territory. So that will run out the clock here at the Wolfden Stadium for the first half of action. And our score from Pleasanton, the Amador Valley Dons, 28. From American Canyon, the American Canyon Wolves, 13. We'll be back with halftime.
Well, welcome back to American Canyon. We're here at halftime. I'm Kent Fry along with Ira C. Smith and Dino Alessio. We have a special guest here at half. We have the PA announcer for American Canyon, Billy Gutierrez, who knows his football and has been with American Canyon since the school started. And every time we're down here, we like to get Billy's input at halftime, what he has seen in the first half. And Billy, after that first series, American Canyon now, has come out with the way that Deer Valley's defense in that sweep, they started going back to the weak side with the weak side option and having success with that.
Exactly. We got down in the first play of the game on a big run by Wiltshire with the little dump pass all the way, and getting down quickly, and then kind of holding our own a little bit, but penalties at crucial times are killing us. Just gotta formulate some kind of sustained drive and a stop, because we're really. American Canyon is really hurting themselves, but
I think Dino was telling us, and we'll have official stats here in a little bit, but I believe American Canyon's been penalized 60 yards or 80 yards, I'm not quite sure, already in half, and a couple of big 15-yarders at crucial times.
Yes, back-to-back plays, and then big gainers right after the penalties, and then, subsequently you get knocked for a penalty that just kills a drive. Good run. Ishenberg's having a good game. You see him mature every series. He's gaining more confidence.
I agree with that. I like Vance Ishenberg. I think there's only been one mistake where he tried to pitch the ball,
exactly,
and they called it a fumble. From our vantage point, it doesn't matter how you pitch the ball, but it looked like the ball was a forward pass.
It was
right.
A forward. It was.
And we believe the officials missed that. It looks like a fumble. And so that's a big turn of events, and there, Wilshire takes a head off and goes in and scores right afterwards.
Right.
But Ishenberg, I agree, Billy. He's gaining confidence, his composure. He's running that team, and except for that one mistake, I think he's just improved dramatically. And as you say, every series,
yes,
he's improved.
Yes, he has. And then you gotta hand it to him, because you seen that same thing during the Deer Valley game. Last week, they just get absolutely trounced, 69-0, in the worst loss in the history of this school. But then to come back and be as poised as he is right now shows a little bit about him. He's a competitor. He competes, obviously, grinds it out. And Birdsong's doing his job. I was impressed. The play of the game was not his long run. But the 17-yard carry that he carried like 11 guys,
absolutely,
and just showed the heart that he has.
And it's a great 1-2 punch tonight for American Canyon, Eddie Birdsong, Vance Ishenberg. Those two have been the offense, definitely been the offense. I'm really liking the play call, and though coming back to the weak side. The weak side is there tonight. The weak side option. It'll be interesting to see what halftime adjustments Deer Valley makes. Do they still attack that motion back coming to them, or do they lay back and see what American Canyon's adjustments are as well?
Yes, going in motion, you can see even from the beginning of the game, they kind of were jumping the count. And then when we go in motion, we go to that side. But coming back the other side, like you said, to the weak side has been successful. We just need to have a sustained drive. They get the ball because we started the ball up. So they get the ball. They deferred to the second half. So they get the ball, and we need to stop, and then we need to score, and then we need another stop.
Defense has stepped up big time, Billy, through the second quarter, and they have come to play, and I'm impressed with the defense of America. And we're down 28-13, but still they've made some great stops on downs. They're putting pressure on Mazzotti, that big quarterback. Great bull rush by the front line.
Yes. And I think we need what we need. We need a special team stop and not a kickoff return, because the special team 98-yard kick return was a dagger right after our score.
Well, you're reading my mind, Billy, because that was next on my list to talk to you about was, you know, we saw it in Deer Valley. Obviously, we didn't see the game last week. You did. But special teams have been, in my opinion, the Achilles heel of American Canyon football young season.
Deer Valley had a 90-yarder, didn't they? Or 90-something yards.
And they couldn't field the onside kick.
And the onside kicks, the four. You know, that game was, I mean, that was a very winnable game, like we talked about, with the six turnovers, and then to couple that with the onside kicks that couples to nine turnovers or 10 turnovers, whatever it was ridiculous. I mean, you know, we're in this game here.
Absolutely.
American Canyon's in this game.
Back to special teams, you know, the long snaps have been slow or high, you know, off target. You know, that's critical. We couldn't get that last extra point there. That just comes back and haunts you. But special teams has to be addressed, Billy. I don't see any other way. I mean, they may have to spend a whole week just on practice and special teams.
You're absolutely right. And that's where you lose and win a game, right, on special teams. I mean, Lopez, the original kicker, is out with a concussion. He's concussed. So we have another, kickoff and then a extra point kicker. The punts, some bad punts there, gave them good field position. Then they capitalized that with a score.
Well, staying in your lanes on the kickoff coverage.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you could see that return coming from up here. You could see it when he's at the 15. There,
the
know,
Red
the
Sea parted,
there,
right?
But right up the middle.
Right
there,
up
no
the
containment.
Middle. It was, it was pretty, that was profound right there. That was not a good deal. Well, so and we lost momentum right there, because we just gained momentum on the score. Within a touchdown, then they go back and answered right back with a 90-whatever-plus-yard touchdown that was. It was just it's a dagger right there.
So let me ask you, Billy, you've been in this game long enough. What do you see for halftime adjustments for American Canyon to turn this game around?
I think, just like you said, if you counter back to the weak side when the flow's going one way and you come back to that side, I wouldn't mind seeing a couple play-action passes, because I think they might be down the middle of the seam. Because everyone's coming up on that. I mean, they're not respecting the pass whatsoever. And we've seen Eschenberg against Deer Valley. He could chuck a little bit. There was a missed opportunity there. With C missed the ball, and it was kind of a back shoulder pass right there near the end of the first half. But they need to get a stop, and then they need to counter with the drive, and then a stop again. And the special teams need to shore up. We need to shore this up.
Yeah, I see. You know, keep that defense playing solid, get a stop on downs, and then get some sustained drives going. Don't turn the ball over, and don't get the penalties. Right now, the penalties is what's
killing them. And then the big play, right? The little dump that goes into the house. You know, those splash plays by Amador Valley is what's killing them.
Yeah, that Wilshire is tough. He's a
yes,
little scat
nice.
Back with the lateral moves, and he makes those lateral moves and literally he's faking everybody out.
He's got a burst, huh? When he gets to the second level,
he's a player.
He's nice. He's nice.
All right, Billy. Well, appreciate your thoughts.
Thanks so much. Nice to be here with the A-team again.
Always good to have you on board. With your intake and your input of American Canyon football, and of course we're here a couple more times, and we look forward to that.
I do too. Thanks so much, Ken.
All right, Billy. Thank you, sir.
Ira.
Right now, we're going to turn it back over to Angelo, because we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back after these. Thanks, Angelo.
Well, we're back here at Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon. 28-13 is the Amador Valley lead over the American Canyon Wolves. In that first half, Wilshire scored three touchdowns for Amador Valley. Eschenberg scored twice for American Canyon. And the other touchdown was by Amador Valley's Russell, and that was the long 93-yarder that was a kickoff that he returned. And Dino is back, so let's take a look at the first half stats that Dino Alessio has.
I just ran up back up to the booth. Before I give the first half stats, I went down and spoke with the game officials about the ruling on that that pass play.
Yeah.
And they ruled it a fumble all the way. They, in their mind, the ball left the quarterback's hands involuntarily, so it's just a straight fumble. They did not feel that it was a forward pass.
All right.
I'm telling you what they said.
Absolutely, but what we saw was Eschenberg trying to get the ball to his running back.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we were having a little fun with them, so but what they say, of course, goes, and they've got a better view than we do. We give them that.
Yeah. So quickly on the stats for Amador Valley, as I catch my breath, Wilshire had 6 carries, 61 yards, 2 TDs. Mazzotti, 6 carries, 32 yards. And Mazzotti was 4 out of 6 passing for 84 yards and a TD pass of 63 yards to Wilshire. Also, it was Iwanek caught 2 balls and Murphy caught 1 ball for Amador Valley. And, of course, they had the long kickoff return as well. That doesn't show up on the offensive stat sheet. For American Canyon, the leading ball carrier is Eschenberg with 112 yards on 7 carries. Del Rosario has 64 yards on 7 carries. Eddie Birdsong, 31 yards on 6 carries. Altogether, 217 yards rushing for American Canyon. And Eschenberg completed 1 of 3 for 17 yards, with the one completion going to Tadlip. So, interestingly enough, Kent, if I told you that one team had 234 yards offense to 177 for the other team, and the team with 234 yards has 7 first downs and the other team has only 3, you might think that the team with all that yardage and those first downs would be ahead, but
yes, you would.
It has not quite worked out that way, as Amador's been so explosive with the long touchdown pass and the long kickoff return that they've scored 4 touchdowns even though they've only made 3 first downs.
What's the difference in penalties, Dino, that you have?
Penalties for American Canyon, 8 for a total of 60 yards. For Amador Valley, 6 for a total of 60 yards. So both teams have been penalized for an equal amount of yardage. Definitely a key play, though, that maybe fumble, maybe incomplete pass that was ruled a fumble. And also the controversy over that third and fourth down situation. I'm still not sure. I tried to prove out my stat sheet, and you may very well have been right, Kent. It may have actually been third down. Fortunately, they picked up the first down, so it didn't hurt them, but they did turn the ball over the next play.
Well, we had a tremendous halftime program by the band, the marching band from American Canyon here, as the Amador Valley fans were enjoying it as well. And, Kent, speaking of band, let's check what's happening there in Stockton.
Well, you know, the American Canyon band did a great job here at halftime, Ira. The Lincoln band, fun fact here for you, courtesy of Cam Neal, the athletic director of Vintage, who's sending me updates. They have over 260 members in their band, and as Cam said, they are fantastic.
Yeah. Wow.
That is amazing.
What's that halftime amazing score again?
Halftime is 26-7 at halftime, Vintage over Lincoln.
Wow. Vintage going against a perennial powerhouse.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, we're just about set for the second half of football here at Wolf Den Stadium. Amador Valley will be receiving, and it will be American Canyon to kick off when they come out onto the field. In fact, the Dons are just now making their way onto the field. Tonight's game is the first of 4 consecutive road games that Amador Valley has. Let me pull their schedule and just to see if I can find out who those games are against. I may have it, probably don't have it handy here. to pull out and see. But anyway, I noticed that ahead of time, and I have the American Canyon schedule, but do not have the other one schedule. But I did note that the four games in a row on the road.
On the road.
So the reason that on the kickoffs that we're having Alex Llamas is that Jose Luis B. Lopez is injured. You know, he's a good player at tackle, too. He's a big guy.
Yep.
And he's not out there now.
Billy was telling us he's out on concussion protocol.
Yeah. So that's why we're seeing Alex Llamas. The fellow we were just talking about, Llamas, is on the field now and getting the football and setting it up there on the tee at the 40-yard line. Kicking with the wind behind him now toward the north end zone. And they try it an onside kick, and it is recovered by Amador Valley right at midfield, as falling on the ball was Spencer Ox, a sophomore, but very quickly just got over there to cover the ball. He saw what was happening, and the Wolves know so well what happened to them 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I don't know if I really like giving the ball to Amador Valley at midfield. American Canyon's been having success with the squib kick, where they're just squibbing it down to about the 30, 20-yard line.
All right, here we go. Starting the second half, Mazzotti, the quarterback, hands off to his tailback as Wilshire turns the corner there at the 45, and he's swung out of bounds there, close to a first down at the 40. They grabbed him and spun him around, and he spins out of bounds like a top.
He just does not go down. He's so small and quick.
Yeah.
He is fun to watch.
5'6", 165 pounds, just a sophomore. He did pick up the first down. The ball is in the Wolves' territory at the 39-yard line. We're just underway here in the second half from Wolf Den Stadium. And the quarterback play action, back to pass. He fired. It is complete at the 35-yard line, to the 30. The 25-yard line goes Connor Murphy. And the running back then is dropped at the 21-yard line. Nice little play action set up.
Yeah, just off the counter play, and the scat back from the left wing coming all the way out into the flats on the right. Murphy there, as you said, Ira. Mazzotti did a great job just to get out from under pressure and get that ball to him. But, again, they had a chance to tackle him right when he caught the ball, and they missed the tackle. Got another 10 yards on top of it.
Nico Mazzotti from the shotgun has the snap. Out into the left flat. The pass is complete over there to Cal Iwanich, and Iwanich gets down to the 15-yard line, and he's dropped there. Boy, it's not taking long for the Dons to get down deep into the Wolves' territory.
Well, that's why I said, you know, the onside kick there at the second half, you know, you're giving the Dons yardage right at the 50-yard line. It just cuts the field in half. Now already down there at the 15-yard line.
But they're saying, but it worked for Deer Valley.
Yeah. Timeout here, Ira. American Canyon has called a timeout.
Well, an early timeout as we have played a minute and 40 seconds here of the second half. And they're sending Eddie Birdsong into that offensive huddle. They had him on the sideline, and he wasn't out there on the defense, but he's going to be out there now on the defense. 10 minutes, 20 seconds remaining. We're in the third quarter, and we'll pass along these other scores as we get them. Justin Sinna was in front of the Armio Indians, 20-7 at the end of the first quarter. We'll get a later score on that very soon. In the meantime, double wideouts to the left side, a couple setbacks in the backfield, including Trevor Asbury. Slotting on the right side goes Iwanich. And the quarterback, Mazzotti, gets the snap, rolls out, gets by one. He's going to tuck the ball in, the 15. He's to the 10, lowers his shoulder, and pounds his way to the 5-yard line as he is met there and tried to power his way in that Darius Thomas, the, trying to stop him, came over from his safety position.
Wow, Wanich there on the perimeter was just holding the American Canyon defender.
You know, we haven't heard much from Darius Thomas in this game, and he was one of the bright spots 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So the ball is inside the 5-yard line. First down, goal to go at the 4-yard line, the right side hash marks, heading toward that south end zone as the quarterback, Nico Mazzotti, still in the shotgun formation, puts the man in motion and flips it to the man who gets by one. Nearly, Birdsong nearly got him for a loss. He turns the corner, flag on the play as he dives forward. He's not going to be able to get into the end zone, but Birdsong nearly had him outside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, Birdsong saw the motion coming. He shot the A-gap and just missed the tackle. We do have a flag on the play, Ira.
Several flag. It's going to be against the offense, a hold. That'll be a 10-yard penalty. And that'll help the Wolves defense somewhat. The Wolves in their ninth year. This is the fourth head coach that they have had in those 9 years, John Matanti. And it's one that they feel will get rolling as soon as they get everybody slot in the right spots. So it's going to be from the 18-yard line. The quarterback, as he handed off, trip. And I was following the quarterback as he was able to hand off just as he was being tripped.
What American Canyon's defense, they're just plugging the A-gaps and the B-gaps with the backers and the tackles, just bringing both backers inside.
Yeah, he actually got the ball to Connor Murphy, who stumbled his way to the 15-yard line. 8.5 minutes to go. We're in the third quarter. 28-13 to score. Amador Valley with the ball and the lead, threatening again from the 15-yard line. Nico Mazzotti, the quarterback, looks, fires it into the end zone. He had a man open there, Tyler Nanny, but the pass fell incomplete, a little low and wide.
Yeah, just a little play-action pop pass, basically. Fake to the fullback. Hit the tight end down the seam, and he's a big target. And I don't know how Mazzotti missed that big target.
Yeah. So the incomplete pass stops the clock at 8:17. This brings up third down and goal to go at the 15-yard line. And so they cannot achieve a first down without getting into the end zone. Mazzotti under center this time. He's back to pass. Lobs one in the middle. And the flag on the play again as they were going with
same
a
play.
Similar play.
Same
to,
play.
A quick pop pass to the tight end, Tyler Nanny.
Flag on the near side this time.
Some of the players we have information on as far as size. Some of them we do not, and Nanny we do not.
He's got to be 6'6 out there.
Yeah, he kind of towers above the others. Pretty stocky build as well. Well, the it's going to be a fourth down, and they're going to try a 31-yard field goal from the left side hash marks on fourth down. Snap placement. The kick is on the way, and it's no good. A little bit to the left of the uprights. So a 31 field goal attempt. That was into the wind, by the way.
Yeah, he's got a good leg. The snap was really good there. Amador Valley's long snapper has been putting it right on the money. Good snap, good hold, just pulled it a little bit.
So the Wolves were able to avoid a score against them here to start the second half, and now they take over. And what would really be good for them is to take the ball down 70, or make that 80 yards now, ball down at the 20-yard line where they get the first and 10. And the quarterback, Eschenberg, on the option, pitches it back. They drop the ball, and there's a scramble, and I think they lost it again, another fumble. That one definitely was a fumble.
Yeah, the pitch was just a little out front. Eschenberg got it off. not a bad pitch, but just a missed fumble on the tailback.
Yeah, recovered by Cole Bartolo. Recovering. So, tough turnover there by the Wolves on the read option.
What you got to ask yourself, Ira, Eschenberg has a tough time pitching to his left, so you may want to, run that opposite so he pitches to his right instead of his left.
Bartolo has come in on the offense now. He's the guy that recovered that ball, and he is in the backfield with the quarterback, Mazzotti. Mazzotti will keep the ball. He tries to turn the corner, and he is hit, and he maybe gets a yard. Is there another flag that came out there?
Flag came in from center field again.
Yeah.
That official is just flag happy.
Yeah, he threw that from a long way back.
And he's the one who's been throwing the flag. He threw him in the JV games, too.
Yeah.
So, Ira, a quick update. Lincoln not going down without a fight. It is now about six minutes in the third quarter. It is 26-14 Vintage over Lincoln. Lincoln has scored 14 unanswered points.
Well, the penalty is holding against the offense. So that'll take the ball 10 yards farther back now as the American Canyon Wolves accept the penalty. We're just inside of 8 minutes to go. We're in the third quarter. 28-13 is the score. Amador Valley has the lead. And they have the football as they come up to the American Canyon 32-yard line. Quarterback, it's faked the pass, keeps the ball, and he rushes into about the 20-yard line. What do you think? That was a set play that he faked the pass?
Absolutely, I do. I think that was a set, fake, and run. I really do.
Not that he faked the pass because nobody was open and elected to run, but that was set for him to run the ball anyway.
Correct.
So he gets the ball down to the 20-yard line. About 9 yards away from a first down at the seven-minute mark here of the third quarter. Wolves could use a stop, and they don't want to turn the ball over. Have a slot left side, tight end right side. Quarterback under center this time instead of the shotgun. Hands it off into the backfield. The speedy sophomore gets brought down just after about a one-yard gain as DeJ Wilshire is brought down there. Nobody out there to block for him that time.
No, and it's good job by pursuit by American Canyon defense where they had 2-3 guys wrap him up. I think that's the first time where he stopped for at least 1 yard and not 5 or 6.
That'll be right at the 20-yard line for this third down. They need about 8 yards to go for a first down on this third down play. Have a single setback there used for blocking. That's the little guy. There's a long pass toward the end zone intended for Cal Iwanich, but it is over his head and sails out of bounds for an incomplete. That'll bring up fourth down.
See if they go 20, for a field goal again here, Ira.
Yeah, you know, that would be about a 37-yard field goal attempt or so if they try it. Let's see if...
I think they are. They had plenty of leg last time. He just pulled it.
You're right. It's from the left side hash marks again with JT Warner will be the holder. And this is a good kicker out there, Colin Thomas. Thomas attempting a 37-yard field goal. And there's the snap. And no, they're going to run out of there now as Warner tries to turn the corner, and he's forced out of bounds. But he may have been very close to a first down. It depends on where they spot that he went out of bounds. He needed to get to the 13-yard line for a first down.
I think he's going to be just short. Let's see. No,
they're calling it a first
down. They're calling it first down. It's a bad snap, Ira.
Yeah.
It's a bad snap, and he short-hopped it. The holder short-hopped it and then made a great run out of
it. That was J.T. Warner that turned that into a first down and keeping possession of the ball. It took it down, and it's spotted at the 12-yard line. So at the 12-yard line, it's a first down. The Dons trying to get into the end zone once again. Here is Mazzotti on the handoff. There's an opening there for Wilshire. He goes inside the five. Another flag comes out, and another comes out. Boy, we have seen those flags flying tonight. And
well, the referee's going to call one for a chop block. And then the other two, I'm not too sure what they are.
Well, you notice the wind has died down a bit now. Earlier, the flags were way out and furling, and the wind has let up quite a bit here in the second half.
Yeah, we never did get that brisk fall weather we were looking for, at least not so far, Ken. It's actually quite nice.
Yep, it's football weather.
It is football weather.
Well, yeah. Could be a little cooler.
The penalty goes against the Dons. And they're walking it with 5.5 minutes to go here in the third quarter. 28-13, the score remains. Neither team scoring yet in the second half. The ball was brought all the way out to the 31-yard line, and there is that block that Kent alluded to, called against the Dons. That takes it back to the 31-yard line. So they would have to get down to about the 2-yard line for a first down, putting a man in motion, getting the screen. The screen pass is complete to the 30, the 25, the 20, spins at the 10, down to the 5, and lunges forward to the 4, very close to the first down marker on that. Well, he went from the 31-yard line down to about the 4-yard line.
Ira, you gotta be prepared for that. You know, you've been backed up by 4 yards, and
that screen has worked twice now.
Yeah, and you know that. I'm always saying I blame the coaches, but you gotta be prepared for that. They gotta be yelling out, "Watch the screen! Watch the screen! Watch the draw!"
Well, it's actually brought back to the 5-yard line, but it's second down and 3 yards to go for the first down, and there is another flag prior to the snap. This may be a false start. No, it's an offside against the defense, which will be half the distance to the goal. That'll take it to the 2.5. It means about a half a yard shy of a first down. So that was a tough penalty against the Wolves. Down 2.5 yards away, just a half yard away from a first down and goal to go. This is a second down and a half yard remaining. And the quarterback is right under center, Mazzotti. See if he keeps it. No, he hands off, and they give the ball to Wilshire. Wilshire's able to corkscrew his way into the end zone for the touchdown. That is his fourth touchdown of the evening. Yeah, Wilshire, for the little sophomore.
Wilshire just ran behind his left guard and tackle, who were pulling on a little counterplay. He just got in behind him, just hard to see, and they just bull rushed him right into the end zone.
Wow. Four touchdowns for the guy. 5-6. DeJay Wilshire. So now we'll get to see the kicker actually kick the ball again now, as Colin Thomas had missed an earlier field goal in this quarter and then had a bad snap and didn't get the it off. This time he gets the extra point off. It's up and it is good. So with 4 minutes to go in the third quarter, there's a timeout and the score. Amador Valley Dons out of Pleasanton 35 and the American Canyon Wolves 13. There is the kick by Thomas, coming back to the 8-yard line, taken by the Wolves at that point, out to the 15, the 20, 25-yard line. C trying to angle for the sideline, but he is cut down at the 27-yard line. Well, we got some updates now First of all, I'll give you one from Dodd Stadium in Napa, where the Justin Siena Braves are leading at the end of three quarters over the Army O Indians, 40-14.
Yeah, big win there for Justin. You know, it looks like they're going to continue on for that victory. Into the third quarter over at Lincoln in Stockton, California, it is Vintage 26, Lincoln 14.
Okay, yeah.
Good game going over there.
Yeah.
Now.
So Lincoln scored two unanswered touchdowns.
Yep.
Well, the Crushers need to hold on. We'll keep you posted on these scores. The Wolves are coming up. They want to get on the scoreboard again here in the third quarter if they can. And the quarterback on the option keeps the ball, but nothing opened off of his right tackle spot there as he had just following that lead on the tackle to the 30-yard line. They need to get out to the 38-yard line for a first down. They have the ball in their own territory.
American Canyon, Ira, they just need to get something going on offense. They turned the ball over after a couple plays on their first series.
Yeah.
They need to get a nice drive going here and move
the
chains.
That took some of the momentum out of they've been doing. Vance Eschenberg, the junior quarterback, hands off as Bert Song goes to the right side and lunges forward and looks like he may have the first down as he gets to the 40-yard line. And the officials are giving the indication a first down for the Wolves. As Bert Song was tripped up but just lunged forward to get that first down.
Well, he's
like a diver.
Looks like he's been over in some pain. I don't know if it's his wrist. I can't quite tell.
Could have been the way he dove for that first down and came down hard on the ground. He did get the first down. Under center again is Vance Eschenberg as he hands it off to Birdsong. Gets by one. He's in the 40, the 45. Puts his head down and barrels to midfield.
And just nice play that he broke off tackle there and then brought her out to the perimeter. Good blocking downfield.
He got about 9 yards, almost 10 yards on the carry. Now he comes out of the lineup. Birdsong goes to the sideline. It's second down and 1 yard to go. Eschenberg, the quarterback, working under center. He has one setback. Wide outs on either side. Slot either side. And he's going to a quick pop pass. It's intercepted at the 45-yard line. Returning it is Spencer Ox. Ox down the sideline. Gets inside the 35 and is tripped up and brought down near the 33-yard line.
I understand the play call. Short, second down and a half yard to go. Maybe get a quick pop pass. But just a poorly thrown ball on Eschenberg's part.
Right to the defender.
Yeah, it was way underthrown. No zip on it whatsoever. You got to be able to zip that ball into your receiver, not just toss it like that. That's the only second mistake I've seen Eschenberg make tonight, but that's a big one right there.
That's the third turnover against the Wolves there. Hurry up there, Alexander Guevara coming onto the field. You can tell when he's coming on. Here's the quarterback back throwing long down toward the end zone, and it was nearly intercepted in the end zone, and that was Darius Thomas, who usually is a sure-handed back in that defensive spot.
Yeah, Amador Valley just going for the home run off that turnover. Not a bad play call, but way overthrown, and Thomas just kind of turned a little too late to find the ball and couldn't grab it in. Could have been a big turnover for American Canyon.
Inside of 2 minutes to go here in the third quarter, 35-13 is the score. Amador Valley has the lead, and they have the football, and they do wideouts either side, putting a man in motion, the quarterback under center, and he hands off and going right up the middle is a little guy again. Boy, he can really scoot through there. That is Wilshire.
Wilshire.
Wilshire gets to the 25-yard line.
You know what I like about Amador Valley? All the running backs, the quarterback, Mazzito, everybody, when they touch the ball, when they first make contact, they're still moving their legs, and they get another 5 yards after first initial contact.
Birdsong is back in the defensive huddle now, replacing Alexander Guevara. And the quarterback, Mazzotti, drops back, fake play action. sidesteps and averts being tackled, runs with the ball. He is tripped up then inside the 25-yard line by Birdsong. Got him down around the ankles with a minute to go in the third quarter.
Boy, he just got enough to get a first down, though.
Yeah. Birdsong has played a nice game. He's going to be one tired player.
Boy, he gives his heart and soul out there. You know, Birdsong, you know what he reminds me of? Is Shomkel from Vintage. I mean,
yeah.
he gives it all.
I can see that. And the way that this defense for Amador has been keying on him, too.
Yeah.
I mean, when he gets the ball, he's got two defenders that are right there to tackle him. Under center again, Mazzotti. Putting slot in motion, giving it over to Wilshire, right up the middle of the 20, the 15, in close to the 10, still going to the 8. Oh, those last 8 yards looked like he just was carrying the defenders, and he's 5'6".
Wilshire, you know, it's funny because I watched Birdsong. He shot the B-gap on the blitz right in Wilshire's lane, and Wilshire just made this quick cut, lateral cut, sidestep Birdsong. Ran 5 yards, ran right into an American Candy defender, bounced off him, and then picked up another 10 yards. Unbelievable, this little guy.
Well, first down and goal to go. The ball is at about the 8-yard line. First and goal from the 8. Mazzotti takes the snap, gives the ball once again to the little guy, and he's going to be stopped shy of the goal, but Wilshire is... brought down just inside the 5-yard line.
I really see how Wilshire, they had him. They go to tackle him, and he still gets another 3 yards.
I don't know how he does it.
They're always moving forward.
He does not have the size, but he some way is able to do it. Well, that's the end of the third quarter. We'll be back with the fourth quarter. Our score here at Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon after 3 periods of play, the Amador Valley Dons from Pleasanton, 35, and the American Canyon Wolves, 13. You're listening to KVON 1440 in Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at kvon.com. Along with Kent Fry and Dino Alessio, this is Ira C. Smith. We're here at Wolf Den Stadium. The Wolves trying to put something together after having lost their first 2 games of the season, wanting to come back here. The first game here against the Deer Valley team from Antioch. And the play goes to the right side as the quarterback kept the ball that time and was spun down just shy of the goal line. So it's going to be spotted back at the 2-yard line. Just underway here in the fourth quarter as they're getting deep into the Wolves' territory, threatening to score again now on this third down and 2 yards to go. They send Wilshire out wide to, well, he's not even in there now. He's not in that backfield. And they give it a power play right in for the touchdown. Just
Mazzotti kept the ball.
Yeah, the quarterback Mazzotti goes into the end zone and... that is his first touchdown. Wilshire had scored 4 touchdowns, but he wasn't even in that backfield for that play.
Yeah, you know, and it's hard to blame the American Canyon defense, Ira. They've been on the field this whole half here, and they've really stopped them on downs.
The turnovers have been the factor.
And then a few penalties, and then, you know, they stop them, and then the offense gets the ball, and they've had 2 turnovers here in the second half. Not good.
Yeah, so that makes it 41-13, pending the outcome of this extra point try by Colin Thomas. As they get set, the hold is there. The kick is up, and it is good. JT Warner spots the ball, and as soon as the kick's made, he turns and runs off the field. He knew it was going to be good. So it is now 42-13. And as we saw 2 weeks ago in that Deer Valley game, the Wolves just like to shoot themselves in the foot there with those turnovers.
Well, the turnovers and the penalties, but it's been the turnovers the second half, no doubt about it. And it's just on the young quarterback right now.
This is after they were getting the momentum. The momentum was going the Wolves' way.
Yep.
They had a chance to...
And I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but American Canyon, they need to keep the ball in their hands and not turn the ball over here. Don't get stupid penalties and get back. Keep your defense off the field and
get some time off the clock
and run down and score.
Here is the kickoff. It soars end over end, way back, and it will take the player into the end zone, but he took it at the one-yard line, and that is C. C goes to his right down the 10, the 15, and he's bumped out of bounds then as he crosses the 20-yard line, got out to about the 22-yard line, dear did Brandon C. Well, one of the guys that we've really been missing, and he's been on the sideline, is Billy Biondini. Biondini is the team's leading tackler and also has been used on offense as a wide receiver, but he's been injured. Jose Luis B. Lopez, their fine tackle and kicker, has been injured. So they've got some key players that are out with injuries. Eschenberg, the quarterback, hands off. They go over the left side, and it is carried by Birdsong. Birdsong, the 30, 35, 40. Birdsong's hit from behind at the 45, and finally brought down over there by Corey Russell, a defensive back. But a nice run.
24-yard gain for Birdsong there.
Is that one of his longest?
That is his longest of the game. Before that, his longest was 16 yards.
How many times has he carried?
He's carried the ball 7 times for 55 yards.
You know what I like about Birdsong? He was running, being pursued, and they were pursuing him to the out-of-bounds line. Instead of running out of bounds, he turns it back up into the defenders before he gets hit.
Yeah.
He's going to take on the defenders. He's not going to run out of bounds.
Yeah, hard runner.
I remind you of Jim Brown.
Yep.
Or Shemkel, as you said before.
Or modern day.
Yeah.
That's right.
So the ball is at the 45-yard line. So they're still in their own territory, are the Wolves. So the Black and Vegas Gold trying to sustain a drive, but they'll have to wait a bit because a timeout is being asked. So there's a timeout here at Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon. We'll be back in a moment. The score is Amador Valley Dons 42, American Canyon Wolves 13. More after. This is KBON, Napa, California. As we resume action here in the fourth quarter, the pitchback comes to the near side. Getting to midfield and then being tackled is Gavillo. Gavillo gets the ball very close to a first down. It's going to be about 2 yards shy, but he did get the ball into Don's territory, so that's a start.
Really the first time American Canyon's beaten Amador Valley to the perimeter. Good job.
The Dons are starting to use some substitutes now here in this fourth quarter. They have basically trips to the left, and Birdsong carries. He's across the 40 down to about the 35-yard line. Not only picking up a first down, but getting about 10 yards beyond that. So they're on the move now in Don's territory.
Birdsong just running a little off-tackle zone play, just making the read. Sees the alley and takes it up the field.
You know, next week it doesn't get any easier for American Canyon. They're at Wilsey Wood in Vacaville in that new stadium there, and Wood is strong.
Wood is always strong, tough, physical, fast.
The handoff, again, they go over the right side with Birdsong getting too very close to the 30-yard line. They have to get to the 25-yard line for that first down. Consecutive carries now for Eddie Birdsong.
I tell you, I would not want to be the guy who tries to tackle Eddie Birdsong one-on-one.
No, it can't be done. It always takes at least two of the defenders, no matter every time we see him. It's always two of them bringing him down.
Yep, hard runner, but. And they've been keying on him, as they say. They fake to Birdsong, and the quarterback keeps the ball this time, and he gets maybe a yard. He may have fumbled the ball, but it may have been after he was down.
Well, that ball was he was carrying it out like a loaf of bread, and they are calling it a fumble.
They are. Another turnover just as they were getting down again, getting a drive going, thwarted by another turnover.
And every time Eschenberg turns the ball over, it's when he's going to his left.
Well, another costly turnover, and that four turnovers, all of which have just stymied their offense, which was starting to really roll. And Birdsong had given them some pretty good runs there that was helping in their field position. Still have over 9 minutes to go in the game, but now the Wolves have to rely on the defense, get the ball back to them, and get down there and get on the scoreboard a few more times. They trail it 42-13 here in the fourth quarter. Shotgun formation again. And the quarterback keeps the ball, turns the corner, the 35-40, and still going, the 45. Boy, they're having trouble pulling him down, and they finally get him down at the 46-yard line, right around the 46-yard line. Boy, a bunch of players in there to finally bring down Nico Mazzotti.
I'm just impressed how every runner for Amador Valley just is always falling forward, not backwards, but forward, especially after initial contact. And they're getting another 3 to 4 or 5 yards.
Well, you know, they haven't had Wilshire in there for a while now. Mazzotti hands off. Now, there they got Wilshire in there. He carries the ball inside the 45 and ran out of bounds in after he picked up a first down. Well, they brought him back in there and handed off to him on that play, and he picks up a first down.
Wilshire, he's legit. He's only 5'6". They haven't listed. I bet he's 5'4".
Yeah.
The guy can play, though.
Wilshire has 116 yards now on 14 carries.
And four touchdowns.
And, yes, three rushing touchdowns and one touchdown reception.
Well, he stays on the field. He is there as the setback this time. And the quarterback is under center, putting the wingman in motion to the left. Wilshire will carry to the left, looks for a block, doesn't get it, and is brought down at the 36-yard line. They threw him down hard, and, boy, he is slow at getting up.
Yeah, that was C who brought him down. We got a flag here on this sideline.
That was a really hard tackle, and it's holding against the offense again. They have had a few of those calls against them tonight. That'll take the ball back into the Don's territory at the 49-yard line. In the meantime, the clock is going to be their ally now with 8:20 to go and a 42-13 lead, sending Corey Russell, who scored a touchdown earlier, out wide to the right side. They have a slot on the right, the wing on the left. The wingman goes in motion. The handoff goes to Wilshire. He cuts in and spins away from one and still gets into the Wolves territory to the 46-yard line. Well, I don't know how they keep letting him pound into that defense.
Well, you know, you got to credit American Canyon defense, Ira. They've been on the field all second half.
Yeah.
And they're still playing tough. They really are. I mean, Amador Valley's moving the ball, but they are playing tough defense.
Well, Mazzotti hasn't been passing that much. We've been watching Brandon C back there as he back in that one of the safety positions, and he hasn't had much work there as far as defending against the pass. Let's see what happens now as Mazzotti brings him up a wing to the left. He rolls out. He's going to pass now, and he's going to be hit. No, he gets by one, gets by another, and fires one downfield, and it is incomplete, nearly intercepted. Oh, that was so close to an interception by Devin Davis, a 6'1 junior. Davis thought he had it.
Well, Davis, yeah, he should have had it.
Yeah.
But what do you call a safety? A receiver who can't catch, and there you go.
Okay. He is on the right side of the defensive side. And
another flag there, though. I bet they call a hold here.
Illegal receiver downfield.
Receiver, okay. declining that penalty.
Yeah. With the incompleted pass. So that brings up third down. The ball is at the 46-yard line. They're heading toward the north end zone, and they have 7 minutes to go with that 42-13 lead. And Nico Mazzotti, who's gone all the way at quarterback, drops back to the shotgun formation, and he's going to pass again, lobs it down the right sideline, and they just drop the ball. He was trying to catch it in stride. It wasn't too badly thrown.
That was a great ball. He put it right on the target, just dropped.
Yeah.
And the defense is right with him, stride for stride. It threw the ball over the outside shoulder, just dropped by Connor, number five.
Yeah, that was Iwanich.
Yeah, not Connor Iwanich, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Cal Iwanich. 7 minutes exactly to go here in the fourth quarter. So that brings up fourth down, and they are actually going to punt. At least they line up in punt formation. And it is Colin Thomas just getting the punt away. He falls down, but he wasn't touched. He just tried to draw a penalty because he had a bad punt. It went off the side of his foot off to the right side and didn't go very far downfield.
He dropped the snap, and it took him a second to recover and get the kick away. That was just a 13-yard punt.
That's why he tried to act like he had been hit. Well, we'll see what the offense can do now for the American Canyon Wolves as they are trailing. They've had two touchdowns tonight. They'd like to get a couple more added on there. Tyler Wynn out wide left side. Right side, it is Antonio Perez. Quarterback Essenberg takes the snap. Hands off to Birdsong. Birdsong fights one, fights another, goes right up and gets across midfield and picks up a first down. How about that power run there?
That's a great description. Power run indeed, Ira. He just powers his way through, and he's quick enough yet to dart through a hole. He sees a slim opening and gets through it fast, and then just gets another 10 yards of power running.
Again, wind to the left. Perez to the right, trips right, and the quarterback Eschenberg hands off again, and then another, as you would say, power run by Eddie Birdsong.
Just running a little zone play off to the right this time, same play. He's just picking his hole, getting through it.
Birdsong is listed at 5'11", 210 pounds, and that's a solid 210. It's a hard 210 if you're going to hit him from the defense. We're halfway through the fourth quarter now with 6 minutes remaining. 42-13 is the score. The Dons have the lead. The Wolves have the football slot right. They'll go up the middle. Gets a good block at the 40, down to the 35, and then tripped up from behind. But a nice little move there by Gaviola.
Yeah, Gaviola on the counterplay, Ira. That's nice. Fake the Birdsong going up to the right and come back with Gaviola to the left.
The defense pulled toward Birdsong, too, and that little fake helped make that last play develop into a first down carry. Vance Eschenberg, gone all the way at quarterback for the Wolves, is back to pass. Fires it out in the right flat, and it just was a bad pass and goes incomplete. Gaviola was the intended receiver, but he had no chance at that one.
No, that Eschenberg can't throw, Ira. It's simple as that. I mean, he just can't throw.
Well, that was just a poorly executed pass.
He runs the ball very well, makes good reads on the option, but
very good.
His passing is still need a lot of work.
Well, he brings him up again. Trips right. They'll run to the right as it is Eddie Birdsong to about the 30. They have to get inside the 25 to at least the 24-yard line for a first down. So they need 6 yards to go. They have 5 minutes remaining here in the fourth quarter. And the It's set to come up over the ball. Now they break out of the huddle. They started early. Now they get set there with Eschenberg checking the defense. Now under center, and he draws them offside, but there might have been illegal motion on the part of American Canyon that drew them offside.
This would be an interesting call because it looked to me like the defender actually moved first and then American Canyon moved, but the penalties are going against
them. Yeah, I think that was a good call. I think it was a false start by the offense. So that moves the ball back to the 35-yard line. And
timeout, American Canyon.
So American Canyon spends a timeout. That's their second timeout here in the second half. Do you know any significant totals there?
Well, Eddie Birdsong is nearing the 100-yard mark. He's got 12 carries for 93 yards.
Needs seven more for the century mark.
Century mark, right. Eschenberg is well over 100 yards. And Del Rosario also has picked up over, looks like about 60 yards rushing. So they're going to be close to 300 yards rushing by the time this game is over.
Well, I'm sure they're missing Billy Biodini and Jose Luis B. Lopez. Maybe some others out there as well. We see what the Wolves can do to get into the scoring column here with 4.5 minutes remain. It's third down and about 13 yards to go for a first down. And a different quarterback, or no, that was still Eschenberg. And the pass is intercepted at the 10-yard line. That was still Eschenberg, and he tried to fire it down a long pass. And it was intercepted down at the 10. They get it back to the 15-yard line.
That ball seemed to hang up in the air.
Yeah, it's just wobbly and hanging and not enough lump on it. And you know, I've never seen American Canyon run a little screenplay, Dino. It needs to be a little bit more selection in their playbook or something. Put a little screen in, especially for a quarterback who doesn't have a strong arm, such as Eschenberg. You need a little slant, which we hit one time, but like little screens would be safe passes for him.
To build his confidence up.
Yeah, that's their fifth turnover, too, in the ball game. So we have the defense back on the field, and as Kent Fry alluded to, it looks to be tired out there.
It's They've been on it all
on the field. We have a different quarterback now for the Dons, and that is Coleman Wiley.
You're right, Ira. It was number 18.
Yeah, I see. He started to go over to the sideline, and then I see they called a timeout. I thought he was going to flank out wide right instead of quarterbacking, but he goes over there to the sideline. So that is their second timeout. Oh, each team has one timeout remaining, but, of course, the clock is the big factor now, with 4 minutes and 23 seconds remaining. Now, what is coming up next week? American Canyon, as we mentioned, will be at Will C. Wood. Wood defeated Vintage 37-5 on youth night, but then they lost to Clovis East by 1 point. And if you know high school football, you know that that is one of the powerhouses in the state.
Yep.
Clovis East. And that was 21-20. Wood lost it, but boy, that was a toughie. The handoff as they go right side this time and turn the corner at the 20 out to the 25 and out of bounds, it looked like.
Matthew Loeffler, number 38. And again, American Canyon had him stop, Dyer, in the backfield, and he just bounced off him and turned the corner and ran another 10 yards.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that defense, if they're still going to shuffle that around a bit here, as it looks to be tiring quite a bit with 4 minutes remaining. Wiley Coleman, the senior, reading at quarterback, hands off to his tailback who tries to go outside. That is Mason Schaefer. And Schaefer gets just very little gain. These are all backup players that are in there now for the Dons. I don't know if we have any of their regulars in there. I think these are all second or third stringers in there for the Dons. They're taking their time, too, now with second down and 10 yards to go. They're breaking their huddle. Schaefer will come out wide left. They have a wide out to the right side. This quarterback is working under center, Coleman Wiley, and has two setbacks, and he hands off to his tailback, and he is going to be brought down as Matthew Loeffler, who usually plays a wide receiver, is in there at a tailback position. Got nowhere on that. Defense reading it well.
Yeah, brought down by big number 50 there, Kakoa Wilson, on that tackle. I thought it was Birdsong at first, and it was Wilson.
So it's going to bring up third down. 2.5 minutes remaining here in the fourth quarter. 42-13 is the score. The Dons have the lead, and they have the football, and they have a single setback with a slot left. The quarterback's back to pass. Fires long down the right sideline, just a little overthrown. The pass was intended for Josh Heverly, a sophomore. Boy, we have seen some super sophomores tonight.
Really have.
From this.
Kind of surprised at that play call being up 42-13. Third and 10, I understand that, but still with 2 minutes left in the game, putting the ball in the air like that.
Yeah, well, they needed 10 yards, and they thought, well, on third down, they would go for the long one on that. Dropping back in the single safety is C, Brandon C. Getting ready to do the punting is Colin Thomas. There's a flag on the play. Thomas's leg is going to be tired after tonight.
I think that's going to be offsides, American Canyon. Dino, how do you jump offsides on a punt? I'm not quite sure about that.
Well, I don't know. I thought maybe somebody had flinched on the offensive line, but it looks like the officials are saying no.
Yeah, you're right on, Kent.
Yeah, just all you got to do is watch the ball when it's being snapped. That's
11 penalties for 72 yards now.
That reminds me of a false start in a marathon or something.
And five turnovers, or was it six?
Let's see, three fumbles and two interceptions.
Five, yeah.
Five turnovers, I think. Let's see. Three fumbles and two interceptions.
So they get another punt opportunity after the 5 yards are walked off against the Wolves. He just barely gets the punt away, but it's a good one. Coming down to the 35-yard line, and C takes it. In fact, he had to dive for that ball to get it and had no chance then to return it because he was at his knees on the ground when he dove out for that reception of the punt.
32 yards on the punt.
And no return.
And no return.
So just over 2 minutes to go here in this one. 42-13. Score. We'll get updated on some of those other scores when we have the opportunity here. The final, Justin Siena held on for a 40-14 win over Armio. So congratulations to the Braves.
And Ira, this just in, Vintage wins 26-21.
Ooh. Wow.
Big road victory for the Crushers against Lincoln.
There's a handoff, and Birdsong carries across the 45. That was a quick opener, and Birdsong just shot through that block set there at the line to get it out to the 46-yard line, a pickup of 7 yards on the play.
Which puts Eddie at exactly 100 yards for the game.
100 yards, a century mark for
and he's earned every one of them, Dino.
Birdsong, boy, he has. He is the only setback in the field. They have double wides out each side. And they have the wing from the right going into motion, taking the handoff, getting the first down. That is Cave Gaviola. And Gaviola gets the ball into Don's territory with a minute 20 to go in the game. Well, what the Wolves would love to do is get another score on the board. Each team with one timeout remaining. The outcome no longer a question with a 42-13 deficit facing the Wolves as they come up to the line. And Essenberg, who's gone all the way at quarterback, rolls out to, he's going to keep the ball, the 45, the 40. He's to the 35, shakes off a tackler there, and gets about to the 30-yard line. That one tackler he shook off was Derek Whitworth, who tried to grab him around the ankle and slowed him up enough that another tackler could come in and bring him down. But a nice run there, and that's been the strong suit for Essenberg tonight.
Yeah, he runs the ball. When he gets in the hole, he's like Birdsong. He's very, very quick.
So the ball is at the 31-yard line, and 31 seconds to go in the game. They give the ball to Birdsong. Birdsong swings to the outside, cuts in now to the 25, down to the 24. So he's gone over the 100-yard rushing. Well, they have a chance for one more play unless they take a timeout. The clock is moving. Down to 10 seconds to go as they come up to the line. And the quarterback hands off to Birdsong. Birdsong, the 30, and steps out of bounds as the clock winds down, and that will be it. So Birdsong did pick up a few more yards on that play, but that will be the finale, and it's... a victory for Amador Valley as they go to 2-1 on the season. And for the American Canyon Wolves, they drop to 0-3. We'll be back on a wrap-up, and we have the other scores in that we told you about. And we'll be back with the finals in this one with the... Dons defeating the Wolves 42-13. Back after this. Well, we're back here at American Canyon on our wrap-up show. Dino is still working on those statistics, and so let's go over to Kent for his comments on this contest.
Well, Ira, you know, the better team won tonight. There's no doubt about it, but penalties on both sides of the ball, but American Canyon still has many, many lots of work to do, especially on special teams. Just not executing on special teams. Long snaps, coverage of special teams, coverage on punts, coverage on kickoffs, not well executed at all, not staying in the lanes. And then the turnovers by, you know, the young quarterback, Essenberg, that's been huge. Each time he runs to his left and tries to pitch the ball, that's when he turns the ball over. He needs to work on his throwing. They need to help him out. Coaches need to help him out, too. Put in a couple little screen plays, just a couple little short passes, just to help build his confidence and, you know, be nice, safe passes instead of trying to throw the ball down the field. But the main thing is their defense played well tonight. American Canyon's defense, however, they actually played well tonight. They were just on the field all night long, and how do you expect your defense to prevent scoring when you're on the field all that time?
They got tired.
Yeah. The offense needs to do its job and move the chains and get the ball down the field and get the scores going. And the offense is not doing that. They're not doing their job. Either they get a penalty or they turn the ball over. So the offense has a lot of work to do, but special teams is the real blatant area right here. I still like the way Essenberg is playing. He's young. He's improving week by week. But you can't make, you know, you're up at the big boys now. You can't be making those mental mistakes of turning the ball over. It's just not allowed, plain and simple.
Oh, we see Andy from the Napa Valley Register out there. He's been covering this game, so there'll be a big write-up in the Napa Valley Register. It'll be too late to get it into tomorrow's edition, but Sunday you can read about the game.
Yep. You know, I really like the way Amador Valley came out and played. They kept it simple. And their big quarterback, boy, is he fun to watch. You know, that Nico Mazzotti, he's fun to watch, and he runs that offense very well. And then you got DeJay Wilshire. Oh, boy. Now there's a guy who's exciting, and what a scat back he is. And he runs forward. And every one of those players from Amador Valley who carried the ball, when they're making contact, they're running forward. They're getting pushed forward. They're always moving forward. I was so impressed with that.
I was afraid that you talk about DeJay Wilshire. I was afraid every time he got the ball, he was going to get hit and just knocked out. Yeah. He was so small out there.
He just doesn't
get hit.
He
avoided the hits.
He really does. He avoids the hits big time. And He's so smart in the way he moves and cuts back and lateral moves, and he's just amazing to watch. And I know he had quite a few touchdowns, but he's a fun one to watch.
Well, a fun one to listen to with his statistical account of the ball game is our very own Dino Alessio.
Well, for a while there, guys, I thought I was going to run out of pencils when we had three touchdowns scored in the space of 37 seconds and then another touchdown scored 2 minutes later. Things calmed down a little bit in the second half. It was 28-13 at the end of the first half with Amador Valley in the lead. The Dons did add one more touchdown in the third quarter with 4 minutes to go. It was Wilshire scoring his fourth touchdown of the game on a three-yard run. Tomas added the point after, and it was 35-13. And then it was Mazzotti, the quarterback for Amador Valley, scoring early in the fourth quarter with 11:15 to go on a two-yard run. The extra point was good again, and that got us to our final score of 42-13. Looking at some of the individual numbers, first for the visitors, the victors from Amador Valley of Pleasanton, the Dons were led in rushing by Wilshire with 15 carries for 122 yards, and he had three rushing touchdowns, and that was in addition to a touchdown reception that he had. Mazzotti, the quarterback, 13 carries, 82 yards, and altogether for Amador Valley, 32 rushing attempts, 223 net rushing yards. Mazzotti completed 6 out of 13 passing for 127 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. And Wiley, the backup, came in late and threw one incomplete pass. Altogether, for the Amador Valley Dons, 46 offensive plays, 350 net yards. Receiving, Wilshire had 2 for 88 with a touchdown. Iwanich had 3 catches for 14 yards, and Murphy 2 catches for 31 yards. Well, that adds up to 7 catches, so why do I only show 6 completions here? I may have to do some revising, folks.
Okay.
I'm missing something there. So anyway, I'll correct that later. For American Canyon, they had a terrific night running the football. Listen to these numbers, folks. Eschenberg, 10 carries, 132 yards, 2 touchdowns. Birdsong, 15 carries, 107 yards. Del Rosario, 9 carries for 83 yards. Gaviola had 24 yards on 4 carries. Altogether, for the American Canyon Wolfpack, 39 rushing attempts, 344 yards rushing. Passing was a different story. Eschenberg completed just 1 of 6 for 17 yards and threw 2 interceptions. So for the Wolfpack, 45 offensive plays, 361 yards. So the two teams ran virtually the same number of offensive plays, gained almost exactly the same amount of yards, but it was American Canyon coming out way ahead. Some of the team numbers, I'm sorry, Amador Valley coming out way ahead. Amador Valley ended up with 11 first downs in the game. American Canyon had 13. Here's a key number. Amador Valley was faced with third down 11 times, converted 6 of them, and also converted 1 fourth down conversion. American Canyon converted only 2 of 8 on third down, and they did convert 1 fourth down conversion on a fake punt. But American Canyon on third down was not able to keep those drives going. The penalties, 9 for Amador Valley for 100 yards even, and 11 for American Canyon for 72 yards. And that's the story.
Well, thank you for the statistical look at tonight's ball game. And Kent, when Cam Neal sent information on the Crozier victory in Stockton, did he indicate anything as far as the JV score?
The JV, they did win.
Well, they're unbeaten, yeah.
Yeah, the JV's won big. In fact, I want to say, let me see here. I want to say 49-7 was the final.
Wow, but the JVs are really strong with Vintage.
Right.
Unbeaten.
And just to the quick side note, Vintage made a great stand, defensive stand. And so Lincoln is always, second half it was Lincoln's game over there, but Vintage made a stand and that's a great confidence builder for the Vintage Crushers.
And in case you missed those Justin Siena scores, Justin won the JV game 26-0 over Armio, and they had won 27-0 last week. So they have scored 53 points and shut out the opponent's total as far as the last 2 weeks are concerned. And then the varsity, also a winner tonight over Armio of Fairfield, 40-14 was the final in that one. We'll select players of the game in just a moment. First of all, I want to remind you that American Canyon has to go right back to work because they will be in that new stadium in Vacaville at Wilsey Wood next Friday night, and Wood is strong. Amador Valley will be at Heritage, which is over in Brentwood. That'll be their second week in a row on the road. They are on the road for 4 straight weeks. The broadcast on KVON next Friday night is the Vintage Crushers hosting Bellarmine. And Bellarmine down in the San Jose area, usually very good. And that'll be on KVON. While on KVYN, Justin Siena has another home game as they host Hercules, 6:45 on KVYN for that. Then we also have a broadcast next Saturday night, a week from tomorrow night. It'll be Napa High football against the San Francisco Reardon football team. So that'll be a 6:45 airtime next Saturday night as well. And next game for us to broadcast from American Canyon will be September the 14th when Petaluma comes in here. And that game will be on KVYN. So now let's go to Kent, select player from the visitors, the Amador Valley Dons from Pleasanton.
Well, they were fun to watch, Ira. They had a big offensive line, and their quarterback, Nico Mazzotti, their running back, Dajay Wilshire. I mean, how can you go wrong with those two guys? But their big line was tough, but I tell you, I enjoyed watching Dajay Wilshire. He's amazing. The guy
was fun.
He's listed at 5'6". I say he's 5'4", but he is so quick and he's just, I call him a scat back. He can make lateral moves as fast as he can run forward.
Just so quick. Unbelievable. Turning on a dime, as they say.
Yeah, so I'll go with Wilshire.
Okay.
Wilshire.
Dean? Dino?
I will go, just to be contrary, I'll go with Nico Mazzotti.
Not a bad pick.
No, not at all.
82 yards rushing. Oh, and so I recalculated. He was actually 7 of 14 passing for 133 yards. So he had 82 yards rushing, 133 yards passing, ran the offense beautifully. He's my guy.
Well, you know, I kind of liked Iwanich. He was in on some good plays. His first name is Cal. Maybe that's one of the reasons. But I'm going to go. I just loved Dajay Wilshire. I mean, as I said, I worried for him every time he got the ball. He's so small. If he gets hit, that's. But he would. I mean, he just. Played a great game. I'm going to join you, Kent. I can't come up with anybody else. But now, this is going to take some doing. Getting a player of the game for the home team, the American Canyon Wolves. And we're going to let Dino start that out.
Well, looking at my stat sheets, you know, I really liked Eddie Birdsong's performance. He finished with 107 yards rushing and played a stalwart game on defense, and he's just out there hitting and going hard on every play. So I'm going to go with Eddie Birdsong.
Okay. Kent?
Dino, do you and I agree for the first time?
No.
I thought you were going to go for, the quarterback, but, tonight it's a no-brainer for me, Birdsong all the way.
Yeah.
Defense and offense, you're right, Dino.
Yeah.
He played his heart out tonight.
He really did.
He did.
I wonder what happened to Darius Thomas tonight. You know, he had looked so good. He was kind of absent in the action tonight, but he's a very good player. And the way Alex Yamas filled in, I thought was very good in the kicking game. When you take over from somebody like Jose Luis B. Lopez, well, you know, you've got some big shoes to fill. And I thought he did. But I will go with Justin Del Rosario. He didn't get in on a lot of the action, but when he did, he handled it well, I thought.
Over Eddie Birdsong.
No, Birdsong was better. I just wanted to get some acknowledgement there. Birdsong was they really stood out there.
But Rosario is a good honorable mention. There's no doubt about
it. There we go. So, final comment, Kent Fry.
Well, American Canyon's got, they still have a lot of work to do. I know it's a brand new staff, Ira, with a new head coach and so forth. But boy, their special teams is just a really blatant, stands out for me as needing addressing a lot of work. Their offense, I mean, Dino read the stats, over 300 yards of offense. Their offense is there. It really is. Defense is not bad, but the problem with the offense, they can put yardage on the ground, but they turn the ball over or the penalties. That's what's hurting. They're hurting themselves that way. So between special teams and, what do you want to call it, discipline of penalties and turnovers, I would call it that.
Oh, boy, the turnovers just really thwarted their... Yeah.
Until that gets corrected, they're in for a long haul. They really are.
Turnovers, I find, are really brutal, especially if you're running the ball a lot. If you're running the ball, you just have to avoid turnovers because you're not going to get big chunks of yardage. You're not going to get big plays. And so you've got to hold on to the ball. You know, if you've got a dynamic passing offense, maybe one or two interceptions or a fumble along the way don't hurt so much. But the passing game was virtually non-existent tonight. And if you're going to rely on the run, you've got to hold on to that ball. Those fumbles were killers.
I just have to remember that first play from scrimmage for the Dons, which was a running play, and DeJay Wilshire took the ball and scampered 63 yards for a touchdown on the very first play.
Well, he's dynamic.
He was. Well, anyway, that pretty well sets our scene until next Friday night, Bellarmine at Vintage, and it's all sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley Sports Boosters. Hey, they're the ones that make it possible, and we thank them. And we thank you for listening in. Whenever you have an opportunity, join us on Friday nights, and sometimes we're on Saturday nights with high school football action tonight from Wolf Den Stadium in American Canyon. Along with Kent Fry and Dino Alessio, and our engineer, Angelo Lyons. And our thanks to Billy Gutierrez, our halftime guest. This is Ira C. Smith reminding you our final scores tonight in the JV game was Amador Valley winning 41-13, and the varsity final was Amador Valley 42 and American Canyon 13. This has been a KVON Sports presentation.